The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I mentioned this earlier that Prince William, 30 years old the other day, was his birthday, and he got a big inheritance, and there was $30 million, I think, altogether for both kids.
So, yeah, $15 million when he hit 30, right?
He gets roughly $15 million. And, you know, at least nowadays they do try to put in an age range at which it will you'll know what to do with
so that
the money.
You don't go crazy, yeah, and buy, you know, $15 million worth of Hot Wheels cars.
You know what? Because right. I knew a brother and sister, and unfortunately their parents passed away, but they were at a young age. They were 19, 20, something like that,
yeah,
at the time. And they got a fairly good size inheritance. It was six figures.
Wow. Enough to give them a good boost, but not to set them up for life.
Right. But yeah, they didn't know what to do with it.
And they wasted it.
Well, they ended up, I remember, because they got this really great apartment. And like idiots, they, do you remember the old rent-to-own places?
Oh, yeah.
They bought a bunch of, media equipment, stereo, TV, yeah, all that stuff, through rent-to-own, which they charge out the ass.
Why would what is that?
In other words, it's basically like, it's like the commercials that Hulk Hogan does, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, you can pay off in installments, but the interest rate is so high. They give it to you. They go ahead and give it to you.
So a couch that would go for $600 is like $1,100.
Okay,
you know,
because you're paying it off.
You're paying that additional.
Right.
Boy, that's dumb.
It's almost like layaway, where they give it to you the second you put down your first payment.
But Case, they were like 18, 19 years old, yeah, and that's what they did with it.
My cousin inherited a cattle ranch in Texas.
Really?
Yeah.
We were talking about
this. That's right. You mentioned it.
And this is a lucrative one, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She has a cattle ranch, and she went down there. I mean, it's a fully functional, people are running the cattle ranch.
So she basically,
and she owns it.
So that's like a Sandra Bullock movie.
Yeah, she went down. Yeah, she went down, and she's, I mean, it's, you know, it's not like they don't vacation there. It is what it is.
It's a working ranch.
Mm-hmm, it's a working ranch, and she went down. She visited she took her daughter down, and they checked it out, and it's there.
So they show up, and you say, okay, I'm the new owner. Keep doing what you're doing. How many acres?
You know what? I don't know the details, but I know it's a lot. It's big.
And
it's a huge inheritance for her.
She knows nothing about running a ranch.
No.
So what do you do?
I think whoever was running it, because she inherited, I believe, from her grandmother. It was either her grandmother or her great-grandmother. And obviously, the person who passed away was not running it either. It was a very old woman. So I think whoever was running it, it sort of just continued, you know, continues as it did before. She is just now the new owner and has to periodically go there and check on it.
What you do is you hire the grizzled old character that Robert Duvall plays, who comes back into the industry after a tragic event in his life.
Right.
I'll run it for you.
Right.
You guys, and make a mint.
Besides that, have you ever picked up an inheritance?
No.
Nothing.
We were close to it, though. Remember, we used to have an association with the girl who was heir to some of the DuPont money.
Yeah, I remember her.
And on her, I think for her, it was her 21st birthday.
She was going to get money?
Right. But the deal is, all along the way, there were sort of like checkup points where they would see how she was,
right,
if her life was on the right course to get the money.
What was her name? She was cute.
Yeah, she was. I forget.
She became a Hooters girl. I remember that.
Yeah.
As the family planned it.
Right. It was a long time ago.
No, my brother's...
We want you to become a Hooters girl.
My brother's friend's grandfather basically built the King of Prussia Mall, and he's under... he gets an inheritance. He was getting like a monthly stipend when he was in college, and I think he had to graduate college. I think there were a few different like land, you know, marks.
What was the stipend like?
You know, it was enough to like pay a car payment, rent, and have some spending money. But when he had turned 21, he was supposed to get a lot of money, and then like another
a lot. How much would
like
you say?
Millions, like $5 million, wow, and then like even more when he turned 30.
You know, I know I'm in the will, and obviously, and I've seen what has been parsed out when my dad passes, you know, but I'd prefer that he just stay alive forever, if we can work that.
Yeah. Right. I did for my grandmother and inherited, and I was only, 18 years old, but I got, like, $2,000 or something like that.
Isn't...
I went out and bought some electronic drums with that.
Well, you would use that.
Yeah,
it's not,
yeah.
It's not like
I did
you were,
use
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Well, $1,000 for the drums, $1,000 for some crack.
Of course.
Isn't on Rochelle's side of the family... Isn't there a lot of money in Sweden?
Her aunt? Yeah, they have hundreds of millions.
Have they indicated about? Do they like you guys?
Yeah, they like us. Have you been any
indication whether you or not you might end up in the will?
No, I haven't asked about that.
You're our favorite.
Yeah, keep visiting.
Well, we made her uncle by marriage the godfather of one of our kids. So
Can you make him your godfather?
I'd work on that. I will work on that. Hold on, Marissa's got a tiny little finger holding up from the other side.
Actually, I have a friend who is the heir to a baseball card company that
Topps?
Locally. It's not Topps, but it's something like that.
Donruss?
I can't remember.
Bottoms.
Donruss, Fleer, and Topps. Those are the ones, and Upper Deck. Those are the ones I remember.
I think it's Fleer.
Okay.
Upper Decker.
But they're like, they're kids that have been so successful, and they've gone to college, and they've done their careers. So it's like the kind of people that you like. They don't blow all their money, and they don't do it. So
how much would you estimate that they got?
Millions.
Well, that's funny, Marissa, because I knew a few trust fund kids that were the type that you didn't like, and they would just get their money, usually at 21, sometimes at 25, and then just go to the islands. You know, and like... Not that you wouldn't like them, because they were usually a lot of fun, because they would,
jealous.
Cover the bar tab.
Socias.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
Socias.
Well, they would just, they would move to, there were people in St. John, Preston, and, like, that was it. You know, they got their hundreds or 500s or millions of dollars, and that would be it. They'd move to the islands, and that's how they would live their life.
A friend of mine was in line to inherit the family cigar company, and it was in the newspaper and stuff. They're from Philadelphia, but I guess him and his father decided to sell. So I forget the exact number, what it was, but I believe him and his father split something. It was in the billions, something like $3 billion.
Billions?
Billion.
Good God. Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah.
For a cigar company?
Yep, a cigar company.
Unreal.
Well, was it laced with angel dust?
I don't know what it was, but they are the nicest family. My friend is very nice. Yeah, and his dad is great. Yeah, very nice family.
Is that where you get your cigars? Because some people don't know, but after the show, Kathy likes to take a stogie outside. You and Bill. That was a good one.
Fire up a stodge. Let me go to Jim on the phones. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Hey, the end is purple.
Yeah. The end is purple.
The end is purple.
What's up, man?
Yo, Mike, so my cousin's driving to work the one day, and he sees this old woman on the side of the road changing a flat tire, so he pulls over to help her. And, they kind of started to talk, and so the old woman, probably in her 80s, invited him over to dinner. He got to be friends. He started helping out around the house and everything, and they wound up passing away. And they gave everything to him. They gave this huge house, huge farm. They started to open up the farm and kind of clean it out, and the walls were packed with, like, hundreds of dollars. So, I think it was, like, $1 million they found.
So Jim, you're saying one act of kindness fostered this friendship that ended up in this inheritance.
Million.
Wow. Yeah.
That's so cool. Wow.
So, man.
So be nice.
Yeah, exactly. Steve, you remember the guy who claimed to have picked up Howard Hughes, who was hitchhiking, and this is when he was deteriorating at that point.
Howard and Me, it was made into a movie with Paul LaMatte and Jason Robards.
And he had claimed that Hughes left him everything.
In basically, for picking him up, he picked up this grizzled old dude, long, fingernails.
Looked like a homeless guy.
Right,
yeah.
It was fraud. My understanding
they found
was
it to be fraudulent.
Yeah.
But you never know. Hughes was crazy at that point.
He was.
And he might have done something like that.
At that point, he was living in the covers over the windows.
Yeah.
No personal grooming. He looked like a homeless guy.
Let me go to Fokker, really?
Durka.
What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
My wife's uncle, when he passed away, it was written into his will that a certain part of his estate was to be distributed amongst people that attended his funeral. So a couple weeks later, everybody got a check in the mail for $1,000.
No kidding.
So basically, he extorted people to go to the funeral.
Well, no, nobody knew about it.
Okay. Wow. Like,
that's really cool.
I tell you what, that's a cool final FU to the people who were...
I like that.
Who were standoffs, you didn't show
kind
up.
Kind of a nice send-off, like, hey, have fun.
Hey, was there, like, a lawyer present to... see who all attended, or was it everybody who signed the guest book?
I'm guessing everybody that signed the guest book and the funeral directors, a family friend, so they weren't going to rip them off or anything.
Well, I'm going to say that right now. Afterwards, if you come, everyone's going to get $1,000.
Wow.
I'll be dead, so I don't have to pay out.
Yeah, you really don't. You don't have to make good on that.
Do you want to risk it?
My friend's father inherited his father's African gray parrot because those things live to like 80 years old.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, yeah, I wonder how often that is the case, because more often than not, the bird will survive the parent.
It is a terrible, terrible pet. It's so loud. It's really obnoxious. And he curses his dead father all the time. He's like, I can't believe he handed me this thing.
They automatically think, well, we'll just give it to the zoos.
Right.
But the zoos are like, no, we're good.
Open a window and let that bastard fly away.
Although,
we could have an accident while cleaning a shotgun.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, they're beautiful birds. They're just...
this doesn't look good.
They're awful. I'd like to have a parrot.
No, you would not.
No. Yeah.
Its head fell off.
Dude, they're...
My neighbor had... We had a lovebird. That was cool. And we had a cockatiel. My neighbor had a parrot. I think they're cool.
They're noisy.
Yeah.
They're loud, noisy, and messy. Yeah.
I just saw a text that came through that said that he is inheriting the family nut bowl.
Oh,
that's nice.
Do you remember the nut bowl
conversation?
Yes, the nut bowl. Let me go next to, let's see, I have James. Hey, James, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thank
you.
Hey! What's up, James? We were talking about inheritances off of the royal family story here.
Yeah, it's really weird. 2 months ago, we got a phone call. My wife has been estranged from her father for probably about 25, 30 years. She has talked to him a couple times. But out of the blue, and she has 18 siblings.
Wow.
She's the baby, and he left us the house in Ohio.
Interesting.
We've never seen it, but we just got a house 2 months ago.
Wow.
So any ideas to what the other 17 got?
I don't think there was anything other than the house. I mean, the guy really didn't have anything.
Well, you know what has to blow? When you have somebody who's been working on a fortune for a long time, I think of like Jerry Lewis, or, you know, who then gets married for the third or fourth time in life and then has his precious little girl, so that the other older siblings are now, you know, cut more out of the will.
Yeah.
And there's always sort of like a shell game that takes place.
The secret inheritance thing is kind of interesting, where someone you were
out of the blue,
we're barely even aware of.
Like an aunt
distant
or uncle.
Relative.
Yeah, you didn't even know you had.
And then they somehow or another, they decide you're going to be the recipient and they're going to be your benefactor. I mean, that's I think of Brewster's Millions, of
course, know.
Casey,
yeah, yeah.
One of your all-time favorite movies.
It's a great movie.
He didn't even know the guy existed, and he gets...
It's not as pleasant as when you find out they used your name to co-sign loans.
Right.
This is not the way I was hoping it would work out.
By the way.
Yeah.
Let me go to Sarah. Hey, Sarah, good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, what's up?
When I was 15, my uncle left me $20,000. Of course, I was a freshman in high school, so I was like, whatever. But my parents kind of just put it away for me, and then I used it to pay for college, and now I have no student loans, and I'm getting married, so it's pretty awesome.
That is cool, and that they had the foresight to just take it away from you and make sure that you held on to it.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of rules they can put in place so that you can't use the money for until a certain age, or you have to use it for your college education or something like that, right? I mean, they can block
it's
how
their,
you actually
it's their
use
money,
it.
And like right now we're doing a bit of the estate planning and changing up some stuff, my wife and I, and the amount of things that you did the whole process that you have to think about.
Yeah.
And what you want, who gets what, and the breakdown of stuff.
And some of it is like, I know that when doing the will, we're like just looking at each other going, I don't know. Sure, we'll leave that to so-and-so, I guess. I mean, some people put real serious thought into it, and others just are like, I don't know.
If for me, it was, I was like, I was messing up because I'm trying to think, who's going to take care of the televisions?
You can put me, I'll take care
of
it.
Okay, yeah. All right. You do it right, though, right? Watch everything in HD?
I would never do what your wife does not.
Let me go to Dave here. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Preston. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, my man. What's up?
I learned about a year or so ago that my family has this interesting story. Apparently, some relatives of mine back in the Depression era were living in Cleveland at the time, and the bank where they had all their assets saved, the bank went under. Mm-hmm. And was like really strapped for cash, so they seized all their savings, and in exchange gave them like just 20 burial plots in this cemetery in Cleveland, and it remains in the family to this day.
So they took the family's assets and in turn gave them funeral plots.
Yes.
I mean, we still have the deed to this day, and you can tell it was not written with today's sensibilities, because it specifically says that, you know, to be buried in this cemetery, you must be of the Caucasian race.
Wow. Oh my God! Geez.
Wow.
Dave, is it I assume it's a really old cemetery, and
it's probably pretty full.
Can you sell those plots?
They've tried. Even back when, you know, the family has been trying to sell them for years, and the cemetery just says, we've got space. We're good. We don't need it.
Here's the problem, Preston. They didn't move the bodies.
Nice.
But so it's become a running joke now with my wife and I. When we learned this, we said, well, this is great. Now we'll threaten our children with that. If you don't behave yourselves, we're going to bury you in Cleveland.
Right. You've got the plots. You're good to go.
Wow. Yeah, we've already got the space. And you're not going to be buried with everyone else. You're going to be buried in Cleveland.
Wow. Interesting.
Just visiting Cleveland's bad enough.
All right. Thank you, Dave. A couple other calls here. Let me go to Amy. Hi, Amy. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thank you. What's up, Amy?
I have a really good friend whose aunt died and left his mother millions of dollars, but she can't use it because there's a stipulation that she has to use it for her education. She's 65 years old.
Adult education.
Oh, no.
And left millions to be used for her own personal education only.
Yes.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, she cannot do anything with it.
Can she educate herself in cars or something?
Yeah.
She can't. She has to use it for education, and there's, like, no way around it.
Wow. I assume she's explored every legal option.
She's been to so many lawyers, so many different places.
Whoa.
Would it be possible to exhume this aunt's body and piss on it? Because that's what I'd do.
That'd be very appropriate.
Jeez, I mean, come on.
Can she leave it to her nieces and nephews?
No, I think she was the only one that was.
Then that's useless.
So then where does it go then if she can't use it?
Right.
It's just in a trust fund, like a bank account.
But she's gonna, if it's her money and has to be used for her education. I'm wondering if she can will that out to her kids, to
pay it forward.
She can. I think that's the action she's been trying to put in motion.
Yeah.
So when she passes, at least her kids will be taken care of.
God. Could you imagine
all there.
And all the good that money could do.
It's all there.
It's all the G.I. Joes.
Oh, geez, that sucks. All right, thanks.
But I wonder, like, all right, suppose it's $30 million and you say, okay, I'm going to go to this college. I'm giving you $30 million. Just give me like 15 back.
Well, you know what you do? You get the top cafeteria plan,
right?
What, you give it to the school.
You trust it to the school for your education.
And then they got
to
give it back.
Can I get half of that back?
Give me a scholarship back.
No, that's not going to happen.
Give me a $30 million.
I don't think so.
Listen, hire a team of lawyers and just have them work around the clock to figure out a way to do it.
Wow. All right, we have Kathy's cattle ranch cousin on the line. Let's get Tara. She apparently inherited a cattle ranch, and I want to find out a little bit about what that's all about. Hey, Tara, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, good morning.
Good morning. So Kathy was telling us a story. We got on a conversation about inheritances. When did you get the cattle ranch?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
And who did you inherit it from? I couldn't remember.
My grandmother.
Okay.
My grandmother, Dorothy, in San Angelo, Texas.
And how many acres is this ranch?
It's just under 3,000.
3,000 acres.
God. Just under, guys.
Cattle ranch.
Because you know what? I want to be politically correct. I can't,
right.
You know.
We still want to seem like 1%.
Yeah. Hey, Tara, so is it profitable for you?
It is. It's given a little bit. We lease it out. And that's kind of the way, you know, I looked for the book, you know, you know, how dummies can run a cattle ranch.
How to be a cattle ranch baron.
Yeah. There was nothing, so we lease it out right now. And eventually, maybe, I'll learn how to run it myself. But it's a whole other world, you know, and I'm a New Yorker.
Well, if it's generating capital, and as it is, it, from what Kathy says, it's self-sustaining.
Yeah.
I mean, you just...
You know what? I do hold it over the children of who's going to get the cattle ranch. So
she has four kids.
May I ask,
whoever takes care of mom and dad gets the cattle ranch.
What would be the dollar value of this ranch were you to sell it right now?
Oh, geez. Well, you know what the whole thing is, guys?
What?
It's not so much the cattle. It's what's under the land.
Oh, is that oil?
Mineral rights.
And that's what I have learned. We have 4,000 mineral rights. So grandma not only... That's what I learned for my homework. So I wasn't a stupid inheritee.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm never going to sell it because you never know what's underneath it.
Are we talking millions of dollars?
Yeah.
That's wow. Nice, Tara.
Don't forget about Aunt Kathy.
Yeah, don't forget about Aunt Kathy.
Aunt Kathy, you know what? Your father's here, so I'm whispering, okay?
Oh, my dad's there?
Yeah, he stopped by last night.
Oh, tell my dad I said hi.
Yeah, he's no dummy.
He's making his organic oatmeal right now, helping the kids.
I'll make you organic oatmeal, baby. Mineral rights, right?
Wow. All right, Tara. Good
so
luck
you know
with
what?
That.
To what? Everyone that inherits everything, you never know what you got. Do your homework.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, that's good advice.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Tara.
Thanks, Tara.
God bless, guys.
Yeehaw.
Bye.
We'll see you later.
Bye. Right,
and there could be oil, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched Dallas.
By the way, one last inheritance story. I got this via instant message. It says, I inherited my father's small penis.
Oh.
Some people get that. You know, I mean, you never know. Never know what they're going to hand down to you. All right. Anyhow, yeah, we got to start on this because Prince William just got his inheritance, and it was roughly $15 million. And it was because he turned 30 the
other things
day.
Were getting a little tight there.
I understand.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Grilling season is here, and they have done it again at Omaha Steaks. This is the one and only deal that you can get. It is the Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection, a limited time for only $39.99. You heard that right. $39.99 is 80% off, and here's what you get. 2 tender filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 traditional kielbasa sausages, 4 award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and for this deal, you get 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Did you hear all of that? You get it's for $39.99, and what's wonderful about this is you're not going to have to stop off at the store on the way home. It's already going to be there ready to go. This limited time package for only $39.99 is available when you go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, and add the Grill Ready collection to your cart. Don't wait, you want to get this offer soon for summertime. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Gadzooks in the search bar, grab your friends, and fire up the grill.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit HandAndStone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston & Steve Show podcast.
Our next guests are here to promote a movie of which the trailer is one that has made me laugh out loud. This morning, I kept watching this part over and over, absolutely cracking up. And we're going to ask these guys about it because I was just dying. And we welcome back Philly Boy to our studios. He's been here before. We love him. He's so great to this city. Kevin Hart is here. And yeah. Ice Cube is here.
Yeah, yeah.
As well. Hey, guys.
What's your man?
How you feeling?
Doing great, man. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Kevin, hey, that's my line, homie.
You didn't work this out ahead of time?
No, man. Yeah, see the problem I had to deal with?
There you go. Something tells me this was a lot of fun to work on the movie Right Along.
Yo, it was a lot of fun to work with. You know, as soon as we can get Kevin, you know, into the set, you know what I'm saying, to work, you know, he did a pretty good job, you know what I mean?
You have no problems.
Getting him out them strip clubs is murder, you know what I'm saying? Picking glitter out his face, and, you know, it's just not cool.
Not a regular at the Purple Orchid, are you, man?
Yeah, Purple Orchid.
Don't listen to this nonsense dude is talking about. Dude, let me tell you something. Right now, we couldn't be more excited about a movie in our life, man. You know, me and Cube got the opportunity right now to have a film jump in the same conversations as these other buddy cop movies that have done so much. You know, when you think buddy cop movies, you think 48 hours.
I love them. There's a great dynamic, but great. The key with any movie like this to work is the chemistry.
Yes.
And it seems like you guys hit the ground running with it.
Yes,
instant chemistry. You know, and that's kind of weird because you know with the other comedians that I've worked with over the years, you know, we've had to build to a cool place, but it was instant with Kevin.
You know, the thing is, though, you're very funny yourself, but you know how to let it, like with the Jump Street movie, or what, know how to let the other guys breathe. And Kevin, was it a concern that you? I mean, because you do your thing, mm-hmm. but a lot of times you know, with someone who's less generous, a partner in a scene, get stepped on.
Yeah, you get stepped on. I mean, the thing with improvisation and going off script, it can be great, but if you don't have a person who understands the levels within improv and that understand how to keep a story going and to keep you on track, then you're going to lose. The good thing about Cube is, yeah, I can go on these tangents and do things, but Cube would always bring me back.
Yeah.
And it wasn't by necessarily being a straight man. It was by being a well-rounded actor to know how to motivate the scene without trying to go to my level and me not trying to go to his.
It's funny because I describe with the Preston, the dynamic that we have is that he keeps going and I keep coming in from the side, and that's how it works. You in the plot conceit here is that you're an actual detective.
Yeah.
Kevin, you're a pain in the ass school cop. You're going to marry your sister.
Yeah. Yes.
Who's your life? Your one connection through to the real world.
Yes, you know, I've my character has taken care of my sister. You know, our parents are out the picture, and
right.
You know, so you know she's almost like a daughter. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And you're very protective,
overprotective, and I'm on a big case. You know, I'm trying to track down the biggest drug dealer in Atlanta. So right. The last thing I need is this fly in my ear by the name of Ben bugging me trying to marry my sister, you know, and he's just not what I think he should be.
Should be, yeah.
So you decide to take him on a ride along, which might kind of scare him out of this whole thing.
That's maybe the plan, man. Right. Just scare the hell out of him.
Right, right.
You're Denzel to his Ethan Hawke.
Pretty much. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
Trainer Day upside down.
Yeah. Upside down on his ear.
You know what? That's funny, though. There's an aspect to it. I'm a gamer, so, you know, and you, Kevin, your character believes sort of in a way that because you're accomplished at video gaming, that would translate into the real world.
Yes, I solely believe that this is a real thing.
And I guarantee you, there are a lot of dudes, because you'll hear it when you're playing.
I can promise you there are.
There are a lot of dudes that think they could be dropped down in Fallujah and have no problem.
I can assure you that I've met these guys. The whole stigma for my character of believing this gamer tag and his handle and how he associates with real life, it comes from a place of meeting real gamers. Like, I've had guys who are so into this video game world that when I've met them, they've introduced themselves as their gamer tag. You might know me as Badass22. What are you talking about, man?
I saw a character listed as BallsDeep23. Is that one of you?
Yes. I'm saying these names really it's serious. Like I meet these guys so much. I mean, we were actually, when we were just doing that, we were doing a press junket, and one of the guys, this guy, the BlackNerds.com.
He
has a website called BlackNerds.com.
Right, right.
And he was serious. He was like, yeah, you know, I'm basically here for all black nerds. Give us a place to come, and we basically reside here, and we talk about things, you know. But as a gamer, he was talking about himself as a gamer. As a gamer, I'm a different type of person. This world that I'm in, you know, Kevin, I respect you for going there because it's me, you know. I'm above a platinum level. I'm actually on the game that I play. There's a diamond level, and there's only this. And we didn't know what the hell he was talking about. Like, man, ask me about the movie, man. I don't know what you're talking about, man.
I was reading some of these video game websites, and they were commending the movie for knowing the vernacular.
I went and researched. But you know what, though?
Nah, don't lie. Your trailer, in between takes, he talking to his homie Wayne, you know what I mean? Talking to, hey, you know, I'm going to get you, man, when we get back in the trailer. We got it on pause.
Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you this. Big thing. I'm a gamer too. I just try to keep it in the thug atmosphere. but I'm heavy on a video game. So we would be filming literally as soon as we would cut. We play 2K. Me and my guys, we play 2K12, 2K13. But we go at it. So we would go do a take, and then they would say, "All right, guys, we're done with this setup." And I'll go, "How much time we got?" They would say, "20 minutes." And you just hear me and my friend talking. Let's go. It's third quarter. I got the ball. Let's go. We back at it. So I'm definitely heavy in the gaming world.
You're a gamer as well, and it can it's weird because Preston and I have talked about this. It can seep into your life where you're doing your job and you're thinking, I bet if I did this, you know, like or Call of Duty or whatever. I bet if I did, you know, and it starts to blur the lines.
I didn't wash my ass for 3 days because of Call of Duty. I played Call of Duty for 3 days straight in the dark. I didn't speak to my kids. I only drank milk out of a jug. I flipped my drawers inside out because I didn't feel like washing. It was a bad time for me with Call of Duty.
That's funny. The scene I was referring to when I introduced you guys is you're both interrogating this guy, and Cube, you're saying, you know, you better tell me what I need to know. And Kevin's scared to decides to act like he's the crazy cop and just starts wigging out on the guy and accidentally shoots him. Your reaction, Kevin, your face, just the immediate switch it went off to, oh my God, I just shot this guy. And then Cube, you pick it up. He just shot you. That's how serious we are. When you did that scene, were you the one who pulled the trigger on the gun, or did they surprise you with that bang? Or
no? Well, on the day, actually, you know, we were trying to figure it out because first of all, they don't like me with guns on the set. I'm the last person they want with a gun just because I just don't know how to handle them in real life. So Cube's like, Kev, hey, make sure somebody check Kev's gun. Show me that it's blank. His thing is me shooting him by accident. So, right. Yeah. On a day, of course, it's empty, and we just sound effect it.
Okay.
So we just, it's just physical, physical, physical. And then after that, you sound effect it at the end.
Damn, that was funny, man.
It's good, though, to see my character slowly pick up his cadences, because he doesn't, you know, he doesn't want me on a ride alone. But as we go on this journey, you know, the more stuff I see, the more I feel like I'm in his world. And to see Ben go through this and to see him start to look at me differently and still be annoyed, but yet a little impressed, but not going to let me know.
Yeah, the video stuff is working. You know what I mean? All the stuff he's saying about the video game is actually working in real life. So I can't really hate on it like I want to. You know what I mean?
But this is, and I assume this is what you guys are doing, and I think it'd be a great idea. Is this could be the step off for a franchise.
Yes, yeah,
I
mean, yes.
No doubt. You know, it's really about the people supporting the movie. You know, you can get your advance tickets on Fandango, Ride Along
Sweepstakes.
Yeah, man, go get your tickets, you know what I mean? And support the movie, and we'll do more.
Now, the director
is... I don't think you guys got that right. What is it called?
You said Sweepstakes. See, you was playing with it.
No, I wasn't.
You was playing with it earlier.
Hey, I'm doing my job. I'm selling the movie.
I told the man to write it down.
What is it?
And you didn't want it. I know this.
Let's get right. Okay, it's Fandango Ride Along Sweeps.com. We're giving out a Dodge Charger. He wants us to make sure we say it, because basically, we're giving out the Dodge Charger that was in the film. So that's why it's important for people to go.
You know what, though?
It's a challenge, though.
We'll link off our website. You don't even have to worry
about it. Appreciate it.
Look, it ain't my job to know websites, okay? No, I'm sick of this, Will. Don't put that pressure on me, okay? At the end of the day, I'm an actor. I'm tired of y'all throwing this stuff on me, Q.
Hey, man. We'll get back in. That's why he want people to go to the box
office.
Yeah,
man.
Will's the producer, by the way. And the director is
Tim Story.
Tim Story, who did Barbershop.
Fantastic Four, Think Like a Man.
Great movie. Now, Barbershop, I assume there was an improvisational atmosphere. Did you get to do a lot of improvising on a movie like this?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You know, I think when you get it right, you know, you start off with a funny script that you're laughing at out loud when you're reading it, and you make sure that script is tight, but you do leave room for the actors to play. And Tim says, you know, get it off the script once, and then y'all can have fun with it. And then, you know, this dude, he don't stop. You know what I mean? He don't stop.
I improv because I can't read. So I basically have problems with my T's, H's, and R's. So I'd rather just wink it. If I don't recognize the word, I just go off book. That's my motto.
Kevin, I have to indicate how proud Philadelphia is of your success.
Thank you, man.
I mean, because you've been here in our studio before, and I remember last time you were here was back in 2009. You were playing the Tower Theater. Mm-hmm. That's a big room.
Yes.
And we were all impressed at how you were, you know, continuing in your success all the way up. And then the next thing, you're selling out the Wells Fargo Center, man.
Yeah. Dude, it's amazing.
It's unheard of, man. I try not to think about it because I don't want to go crazy.
Well, you know what? To me, you're doing it the right way, because it seems like you keep you enjoy your work and you enjoy your personal life, and you keep them both.
Yeah.
Because you don't, you know, you're not, they don't get blurred. I think guys who let that get blurred end up you know,
I like Steve, man. Steve gets me. Yeah. I like Steve, man. I don't know where Steve got his research from, but he ain't been wrong yet. Yeah, Steve is all right, man.
You know, y'all should do the sequel together.
Yeah. Man, Steve, chemistry is great, man.
Well, you guys are riding along and ride along, too. Right. Maybe you're listening to the radio while driving through Philly.
I think so.
Or Steve is the gamer. I don't know. Something, man. We go to Steve's house. He's got all types of weird gaming artifacts in there.
You and I are drinking milk together.
Something. Yeah. I like it.
I did want to say, though, on behalf of the city and everything, your generosity has been fantastic.
Thank you, man.
A whole bunch of computers. There was that little incident where some of them were clipped.
Yeah, they stole.
Stole computers. You're trying to do something good for the city.
Son of a Steve.
Kevin, you didn't donate the computers and then steal them back.
No, listen.
That ain't cool.
I didn't steal them back, Kevin. Here's the thing. Let me tell you something about old Kevin Hart. See, here's the thing. You can't keep old Kevin Hart down. At the end of the day, I bleed Philadelphia. So at the end of the day, I step up for my city. And I understand where our public school system is, and I understand the problems that we're going through. So rather than being a talker, I took it upon myself to take my own money, $250,000 I took it out of my account, and I bought the computers. I didn't want any help. I didn't go after sponsors. So being that somebody came in and stole them, all you do is motivate me to do more and to do it bigger. And at the end of the day, my job is to just give kids hope. That are in the same position that I was in, that are coming up in the same community that I was in, to show them that, hey, look, you know what? Guys care. People do come back. Mm-hmm. These guys don't make it out the city and just go on to do whatever. The fact that they still physically see me and they can still talk to me and reach me, that's all I need. I know that I'm reaching somebody and giving them that motivation. Cube, I'm such
that's
a
dope.
Good dude.
Yeah.
You are a good dude. What
part of Philly are you from, Kevin?
North Philadelphia.
Yeah,
raised on 15th and Erie. Got chased home a lot around there, actually, in my younger day, yeah.
Just a bit.
Lost a lot of fights, actually, Keith. My record is 0-7 in my youth. But now, you know, I'm ready to go back now. Not really.
No. Hey, you're in shape, though, man.
I'm in shape.
You're wiry, yeah.
I'm in shape. I'm definitely in shape. Don't mean I can take a punch. Just means I look good on camera, guys. That's all that means right there.
Hey, Cube, you got an album coming out in May.
Yeah, Everything's Corrupt is the album. It'll be out May 13th. You know, still grind. I love hip-hop. You know, I can't get away from it.
Yeah, I have to. Also, we were seeing, and I don't know if this is true, that an NWA movie in the works.
Yeah, we're putting together an NWA movie. It's directed by F. Gary Gray.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's right. Compton's in the house. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's a beautiful thing that we could tell the story about the world's most dangerous group, you know, how we was influenced by the neighborhood, and then, you know, we look up and we're influencing the neighborhood. So it's a wide story with a lot of different twists and turns, and I'm excited.
It's an amazing story. I mean, think about all the stuff you do, with the movies, the producing, the whole thing. And I know, Kevin, you were a little bit, I was reading an interview where there was a bit of awestruck nature to, I mean, because this is what, you work your ass off. Of all the things, is the purest and the most joy derived from the music side of everything?
Oh, yeah. You know, the music is the freedom. It's the freedom to be, you know, who I am, say what I want to say, have fun with it. You know what I mean? Chop these young bucks down and think they can get on the mic with me. You know what I mean? All that.
Yeah.
So, it keeps me alive. The movies are more structured. You got to be part of a team. You got to be a team player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, in my selfish creative time, it's music.
Yeah. Okay. It's the purest.
Yeah,
I guess.
I have to say, I've been to a lot of Phish concerts, all right, but I went to the Up and Smoke concert.
Oh, yeah.
The most well-ventilated concert I've ever been to. It was a great show.
Yeah. We all, you know, we had to bring our A game on the Up and Smoke tour. Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, listen, the movie is opening up on the 17th. Like I said, it looks hilarious. And as Steve said, we're looking at a franchise, I think. I mean, it looks that way.
Yeah,
it looks great. It's called Ride Along. Make sure you go check it out. Thank you, Kevin Hart and Ice Cube. Good luck with everything.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, man.
Let's hear it, man.
Yeah.
Ice Cube and Kevin Hart on the President's Steve Show.
Become an MMR VIP. Get early access to concert pre-sales, special deals, and VIP-only contests. You'll get our newsletter about twice a month, most of which you'll find worthwhile. Sign up now at WMMR.com.
There's a video on our website. Nick posted this up. It's very funny. I don't know where this is, but it's a spelling bee. And there's a kid that stands up to receive the word that he's supposed to spell. And he just can't figure out what they're trying to what the word is.
Right. Going so far even as to have them use it in a sentence.
And
I thought it was
definition.
A joke.
I did it first until it hits him, yeah. And you can see he had figured it out. I thought it was a joke leading up to it. I thought he was just playing along, making
right,
the moment.
Right.
But I'm going to roll this audio. It's a little long, but stick with it. And the video is excruciating to watch.
It's very painful.
Yes, here we go.
Heron.
May peace be the word?
Heron.
May peace give the definition. Please give me the definition.
A wading bird that has a long neck and legs, a long tapering bill with a sharp point and sharp cutting edges, large wings, and soft plumage.
May peace be the word?
Heron.
May you please use it in a sentence?
Gail had not seen the heron fly down from the tree. She would have insisted that the huge bird nested on the ground.
May peace be the word?
Heron.
What's the word again?
Heron.
Hair wink?
Heron.
Hair row?
Heron.
Hairline?
Heron.
Hurling?
Heron.
May peace be the word?
Heron. Heron.
Herring?
Heron.
Herring.
Heron.
Harangue?
What?
Heron.
Hair one?
Air Force One.
You guys think this is funny. I understand that. I want to kill this kid.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
No, but you know what? Case, when he actually gets it, you're like, okay, he's not being an idiot.
Yeah, he gives his expression like, oh, my God, I can't believe I didn't. Yeah. I couldn't hear it, but it continues.
Heroin. May peace be the word, please.
Heron.
May peace give me the definition.
A wading bird that has a long neck and legs, a long tapering bill with a sharp point and sharp cutting edge.
You've got to hear in the background going,
He's like, oh, yeah.
Long neck and legs, a long tapering bill with a sharp point and sharp cutting edges.
Heron. H-E-R-O-N. Heron.
I got it. Hairline?
Hairwind?
Hair one?
Q.
Hair one?
Q.
I was expecting, after while watching, I was waiting for the woman to go, Heron. H-E-R-O-N.
I know.
Heron.
Can you please spell the word?
No.
Well, when it continues, she like looks to the side like, should I keep going? Like, what do I do here?
Get somebody else to say it.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Maybe. There are specific rules when it comes to.
Are you a complete idiot?
Yeah.
Are you so stupid that you can't figure this out? You seem very stupid for a young man.
That's
you're very stupid. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Steve. It's all right. That's my bad. No,
you're
I'm,
stupid, too.
I call it like, that's not very nice, man.
I'm sorry, but I'm out of sorts.
I call it like audio interference where, like, somebody will say something to me and I don't necessarily understand the word, so I wait for the sentence to be complete to hear the word in context, and right. then I'll figure out what they were saying.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But this guy...
Well, and that's why they ask you to use it in a sentence to give you some sort of context.
Right.
And I think the first time around, he really either wasn't paying attention or he didn't hear it, because when he gets it, it's when she uses it in a sentence and then he realizes the context.
Hairwing?
Or, I mean, hair the wing? Definition. Hairwing? Hair one?
Herring?
Appalachia?
Herring?
Appalachia?
Fornication.
Steam engine.
And then...
Formica?
With another video, and I've not watched... You guys said this is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
This is... And it appears to be legit.
Yeah.
Didn't it blow your mind, Nick?
Yeah, I think it's just sort of a weird little talent that this girl has, if you want to call it a talent, but...
Her mind is wired in such a way...
Right.
That's got to be what it is. She's had this all her life and just didn't realize it. Someone can say a word, all different degrees of
difficulty,
like
herring,
and complexity, like herring, and she can instantly, virtually instantly, repeat it back backwards.
Okay.
Now, mind you, it's not the case that we sort of divined yesterday that it's not the case that if you were to play it backwards, you'd hear the word. She says the word as it would sound
spelled
backwards.
Okay, right. As opposed to what it would sound like recorded and running back, just the way the letters fall.
Exactly.
If you were to spell it backwards.
But and she's there, and she's in the car, in the video, and the words are coming from all different sources. So she's not... And she'll say, you know, excuse me.
So it's not like a planned list.
It does not look like that, and it looks like she's... I mean, even... I don't care even if it was...
if it was premeditated, there'd be a certain degree of difficulty just being able to say the words back as they're spelled backwards, she's able to do.
She looks like she's about like a 13-year-old, something like that.
I'd say like 15, 16.
Middle school age. Yeah. All right, well, I haven't watched the video yet. We're looking at the video right now, but this is the audio from that, so I want to check that out. Here we go.
Okay, guys, you're going to have to help me with words.
Okay, Alyssa, anyone can say a word to her, any word. She can say it backwards within 3 seconds. All right, let's go, sis.
Chevrolet.
Atelorevic.
Fireworks.
Scrollerif.
Savings.
Skinevaz.
Gallon.
Nolag.
Download.
Day all in one.
Lamborghini.
Huh?
Lamborghini.
In our rugby mount.
What?
Yeah.
Lamborghini? Yeah.
So she's got to have, does she have that ability, she has to have the ability to pretty much know the spelling of every word.
See, we used to, my group of friends, we used to call each other by our names backwards.
Yeah. I was too.
I was Not Serp. My friend was Neb.
I was Dickhead.
Narek.
I don't know how they got that from Steve, but that's the thing.
Backwards. That wasn't backwards. No.
And it's the same thing. It's the how it would lay out if you wrote the letter. So I'm Kasin Nyalikum.
Yeah. Kasin Nyalikum?
Then Nick McElwing.
See, I can't think that fast.
I'm Not Serp Toily.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yasek Ranubsov.
Yasek Ranubsov.
What would I be?
Bitch. Write it down.
That's not backwards either.
Y-thack. Y-hat-tack.
Y-tack.
Y-tack?
Onamore.
Oh, that's nice.
Onamore.
I like that.
You know that erasure song?
Y-tack Onamore. And then here, let's try Marissa. Hold on.
Don't want to have her feel left out.
Yeah, I don't want her to...
Remember how I said about dragging the show down? This is that. That'd be
Why didn't you just write it backwards?
A serum, because it's easier to write it forward.
Yeah.
And read it backwards. A serum, yeah, what the...
Now Marissa is causing an argument between you two.
Way to go, Marissa.
Addingma. Addingham. A serum, Addingham. Okay, so that's how you say it. All right, let me continue this, because it's like 3 minutes of this.
Oh, yeah. All right, keep going.
Here we go.
Land store.
Rats to now.
Corn nuts.
Stenorock.
Bugles.
Sligo.
Cheetahs. Combos.
Sobmock.
Fritos.
SoTurf.
Pepsi.
Ispep.
Bank.
Knab.
Burger King.
Guinea Craig Grub.
McDonald's.
Sidley and Odcom.
Flames.
Smalf.
Silverado.
Otter Redless.
Garage.
Huh?
Hibbit.
Tebbe.
Garage.
Eggerag.
Eggerag.
She's adorable, by the way.
Yeah, she's cute. Really cute.
Yeah.
Mower.
Rewom.
Fence.
Agnes.
Asphalt.
Tulofsa.
Concrete.
Eternox.
Cement.
Timic.
Post.
Stop.
Wire.
Aru.
Ozark.
Crazo.
Water.
Redaw.
Wichita.
Awatixa.
Wichita?
Right.
Oh my God.
She has to, I would be curious to see what her IQ is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
that's the type of thing that high IQ
that's
can
sort of
figure
a savant
out.
Capability.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Express.
Gosh. What?
Express.
Serpsit.
Bridge.
Egg Derb.
Tahlequah.
Hayakalit.
Sequoia. Sequoia.
Hayakaios.
Somebody else try.
Dave. Somebody else say a word.
Kaleidoscope.
Huh?
Kaleidoscope.
Epoxidaic.
Wow. Okay.
Epoxidaic? Oh my God.
I mean, we need to speak to this astonishing.
Girl. Yeah. We need to speak to her and try this out ourselves.
Where is she from? Down south somewhere?
Yeah, Poteau, Oklahoma. She's from Oklahoma.
Huh.
Ohio.
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 Withdrawal.
I didn't even know
that. Oeho. Actually, it'd be Oeho.
It's easy. Yeah. Boob.
Oeho.
Radar.
Withdrawal. Award.
Auto.
Yeah, race car.
Yeah.
Cast live on New Evil Star.
That's right. That whole thing is that's a palindrome. Right?
Yeah. A man a plan a canal Panama.
What?
A man a plan a canal Panama.
That's a palindrome as well.
Word, like, the right way and then say it backwards so that, in case I don't... The camera didn't hear what they're saying.
Okay.
Mayonnaise. Niam.
Omniscience.
Omniscience. Stagnix Inmo.
Oh, my gosh. All right, hang on. Mark says he can do this. Mark, how you doing, man?
I'm well.
Good. Can you do it as quickly as that girl?
She's pretty quick, but the way to verify this, you guys got to be looking at the word and read it backwards so you know the person's right or not.
Okay. All right. Can I try it on you?
Sure.
All right, because I'm just looking at words that are written out in front of me on pieces of paper. Daddy.
E-dad.
Okay, how about winner?
Ren, Iowa.
Yeah, he's right.
Okay. How about everything?
Guinea-if-e-reba.
Not as good as the little girl there.
No.
That's still pretty damn still pretty good, though, man. Yeah. I would have to write it down.
Here's a tough one.
Okay, go ahead.
Colloquialism.
Oh, forget that one.
You got to know how to spell it for in the first place. Yeah. All right, how about this?
So, guys, is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay, what is it?
AI hip, let out the hip, A&F, listen up.
Nice.
How about cardboard?
Treb Drac.
Yeah, he's right.
Backwards.
Straw cap.
Now, let me ask you, Mark, the process that you, do you just see the word reversed in your mind, or how are you able to do this?
Yes, actually, I'm 54 years old. It started in high school when we were trying to talk about our teachers with their fellow students, and we set these rules. You need to set phonics and definitions of how you do this.
All right, so you sort of trained yourself as a way to carry on a clandestine conversation?
Correct.
Okay.
It's like the... Cockney.
Yeah,
remember that they invented that language.
You're
so
in Barney.
So that the prison guards wouldn't
have
know what
no
they were
idea.
Talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. We were just talking about the teachers, so they wouldn't understand what we were saying.
Douchebag.
Gabby Cushed.
he laughs it off like, oh my God, we use that all the time.
What about Mockingbird?
Drib Guinea Cum.
Insurance.
Esnarachni.
Wow, I'm impressed.
So
that's awesome.
You take the word, just to explain it specifically, the word, you see the word, and then does it actually flip around in your mind? Do you see it backwards?
Yeah, you need to set rules. Like, say, church.
Yeah.
You could either call that hickru hick.
Right.
As saying that, or trutch as phonics or words. You need to establish the rules.
Okay, sure, the rules being, okay, I got you.
Because some of them backwards don't make sense. I mean, or in
correct.
In
word church, hick through hick. What's that sound like? Or you just say trutch.
Okay, and so HC would be like a ch type of sound.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha. All right. How about this? Instant.
Tenatsnai.
Yeah, he's right. I'm looking at these words as he's saying them.
That's and the only way you know.
Are you seeing them backwards?
Well, yeah. I mean, I just read right to left, and so Tenatsnai is instant. And let me say something backwards. And see if you can tell me what it is forward.
Try.
All right. Ejazim.
Ejazim?
Ejazim.
Message?
Ejazim. Yeah, that's message. It. Message.
There we go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Denreal.
What was that?
Boob.
Denreal.
Boob is boob. That's universal.
Denreal?
Yeah, Denreal.
Denreal. Learned?
Yeah, learned.
Nice. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's impressive, man.
It is.
That's very impressive.
Didn't you, Case, didn't you try to say a word backwards and then play it forwards?
Yeah.
And you achieved a level of success with that.
Mark, give me all 7 days of the week, starting with Monday.
Yadnam, Yad Siyut, Yad Sendu, Yad Sirth, Yad Earth, Yad Ruttas, Yad Nus.
Yeah. Mark, would you and your friends that you communicated with, would they be equally as adept at doing this as you are right now?
Oh, boy, I lost touch with all those guys.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, I could not be trained to do this. I'm far too stupid, and I find it incredibly daunting to take something and then say it as fast as Mark is, which is formidable.
Yeah.
Or as fast as his girl does, which is instantaneous.
The girl was incredible.
Yeah.
Wow, Mark, that's pretty impressive, man.
Yeah, that and a $1.50 gets me a cup of coffee.
Right.
Yeah.
Bet, you know, you'd be a great Hebrew novelist.
Yeah.
That is a great trick. That's a handy little, I don't know what you'd ever use for other than, you know, like bar games and stuff like that, but that's pretty impressive. I think we should give him something.
Yeah, give him something. Give him
an chili pepper tickets.
I don't have chili pepper tickets.
Give him an ease rip.
But
an ease rip, I'll take a prize.
I have To Kill a Mockingbird on DVD.
I would love that. I heard that earlier.
Excellent. All right, I'll set you up, Mark. Hang on just a second, okay?
Yep.
Round of applause for Mark, everybody. That's pretty impressive. We'll set him up with that. I had no idea.
Go to Tori.
All right, Tori is on line three here. Hey, Tori, good morning.
Hi.
Hey, what's up, Tori?
I can say anything backwards, but even the sentences start with the last word and end with the first.
End with the last word and end with the first. But
so she can say all the word. You can say all the words in a sentence backwards, and the words backwards as well. So the order of the words is backwards, and the words in the sentence will be backwards.
Yes.
Okay. So let me give you a phrase. Okay. And like I said, I'm just looking at this written down in front of me. Call now to win.
New at Wanlock.
She's right.
Wow.
She's right.
Do it again.
It's a new ot one lock. Okay. I'll give you another phrase.
Ready?
The Sixers will host the Bulls tomorrow.
We're
Dude! Oh my god!
Yes!
Awesome.
Wow.
Wow. Are you a To Kill a Mockingbird fan?
Not really.
Tori, how long have you been doing that?
Like forever, since I was a little kid.
How old are you now?
20.
Okay, so you're 20.
Do you have a high IQ?
I mean, I'm applying to med school. I hope so.
What kind of grades did you get in high school?
Pretty good, like A's and B's.
A's and B's.
Do you have a photographic memory?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Do you have big boobs? We just thought we'd throw that in. No, say that sentence backwards. Do you have big boobs?
Boob give evat odd.
Wow. Well, I imagine that people like this have a much higher brain level.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's why I asked, like, you know, if her IQ was higher than
I would imagine it would
have standard person,
because they're able to process things in a way that we can't.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Can you?
They think gooder than we do.
They do. Can you say all the ends of the earth?
No, not off the top of my head.
Wow. All the ends of the earth. Okay.
That's it.
not sing it.
So some things come to you instantaneously, and others take a little bit of work.
No, everything comes instantly. If I try to think about it, then I get like.
Then you get confused. Mm-hmm. So you operate more on an instantaneous reaction.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Interesting.
What's say this backwards? Susquehanna.
And
that's a tough one because you have a Q and an S there together going backwards. Yeah,
could you with your mind cause a car to implode?
Do you have those?
Because I saw this movie where they can a commercial where they can do that.
Yeah, it's a documentary.
Yeah,
it's a documentary.
Called Chronicle.
Right.
It's even in the name that it's a chronicle of actual events.
Tori, that's impressive.
Thank you.
Good luck in med school.
As Steve said, do you like To Kill a Mockingbird?
Yeah.
Right, yes.
I'll give you the movie. It's the prize du jour. Yeah.
It's a great classic movie.
Or would you rather have Drive starring Ryan Gosling?
Drive.
He's 20 years old. Yeah. He's a heartthrob.
Yeah. All right. Hang on a second, Tori. I didn't think we'd get somebody like that.
We got a couple of people like that.
Two people like that?
Yeah. So we talked to these really smart people. Do you want to talk to a 26-year-old who likes to send fart birthday cards?
No. First, I want to go to a PhD who to continue this particular conversation. Hey, Dave, how you doing, man?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
Good. Dave says you have a PhD in neuroscience?
I do. I also did my postdoctoral training at Penn. So what you guys are talking about, spelling words backwards, is a measure of attention and executive function.
Okay.
So while people have like a heightened ability to do that, they actually use that test to test for Alzheimer's and other dementias because it can show a deficit in attention and executive function.
All right. So in other words, I hope you're not saying that someone's inability to do what these people just did indicates they're well on the road to Alzheimer's.
No, what they would ask you to do is spell the word world backwards or tree or a very simple word, and people that can't even do that, that's indicative of having dementia.
Okay. All right.
Oh, goodness.
All right. So,
if you're giving the test and the person believes you're a firefighter?
I'd say then they have dementia.
There's an element of dementia there.
But you guys were also talking about memory.
Yes.
These people tend to have very good semantic memory. That's memory of facts, places, as opposed to episodic memory, like you were talking about, the person remembered what they did on the exact date 27 years ago.
Dave, let me ask.
Episodic memory.
All right, so that would be something that Mary Lou Henner has. That I have attention deficit. I know that, and I jump around all the time. However, I have a very adept ability to retain insignificant, like a bunch of facts about things.
Is semantic memory.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
I'm out on both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like cereal.
I don't have any of that.
Casey likes cereal. What's that?
I think that's brain damage.
Dave just killed himself.
That's brain damage. Not all cereal.
Thanks, Dave. We appreciate it.
I tend to lean more towards the honey and oats type of deal.
But you lean too far sometimes and you drown in the milk.
That's right.
Man died in his Honey Nut Cheerios this morning.
Tragic story,
right?
Cereal and redemption among the world of the brain dead.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah, now I can actually... do you want me to go over to this call now?
Yes.
I thanked Josh for sending me a card. I thought he was a kid. He's not. He's 26 years old.
Wow.
Hey, Josh, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey,
Josh,
can you
put your mommy on the phone?
No. You're funny.
Josh, you write like I do. You have bad handwriting.
Yeah, I just can't help it. That's just the way I write.
Me too. I thought, I was like, it's like, what is that? The water boy. Oh, that's adorable. How old are you? Like 12? No, I'm 31.
Can you put your mom?
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it, Josh. You didn't need
Santa.
To do that.
Did you give me other cards that I sent you?
No, what was it?
It was like a birthday card. It's like a birthday cake that opens up and it lights up.
No!
I didn't get that.
Yeah, I sent it to you. I sent it along with the other card.
Oh, man, because Josh, I go through all his mail and I didn't see that.
Yeah. And Josh, it says your number one fan, Josh. Should I be afraid of you?
Yes. Oh, wow.
He was like a little bit.
He hasn't answered the question.
I'm like afraid how.
All right. Hey, Josh, thank you, man. That was nice.
No problem.
All right. Take care, brother. We'll see you. All right. Bye-bye. What? Rob can do backwards. Can I just throw a couple words to him?
Please do.
All right. Let me go to Rob. Hey, Rob, are you there?
Hey, guys.
Hey, man. So is it words or sentences as well?
Pretty much both.
Wow, man.
That girl that was on before me is a lot faster than I am, but I got Susquehanna right away.
Okay. Susquehanna. Okay. Let me throw a couple words at you. That I see written down in front of me. Universal.
Less Eriv.
Less.
You
knew? Nah, see?
Yeah, that's cool. That's good that you can do it, but it's not quite as impressive as the other two.
Last Rivanu.
All right, how about starring?
Gnirets.
Yeah, that's right. Good. That's good. How about home?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Home.
Could you use that in a sentence?
Emo. Yeah, you got it. Entertainment.
Rock. Corey, thank you. Doug,
nice. entertainment.
Tinem, Riot, me.
Yeah, that's nice. All right. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it, man.
That's
see
good.
You later. All right.
Not good enough for
the rest
not
of the
good
gifts
enough for,
not to compete at the but it's definitely amazing.
I couldn't do it. I would have to write the word down and
hand it to someone else.
Hand it to someone else, have them pronounce it, and then I repeat that word.
These are, just real quick, some of these, I guess, who are the second guy we were talking to where you said, douchebag. No, it was the first one, douchebag, and right. I think we reversed.
And you want to reverse it? Here
we go.
Yes, right.
Yeah, so it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
No, because they're saying it the way, the spelling as opposed to the phonetic way that would reverse back to the regular word. Did you find the word that you spoke backwards quickly?
No, I didn't.
All right.
But either way,
it's pretty close.
That's impressive.
That is amazing.
Very impressive.
To be able to do that quickly. So if you want to see this girl who just is, bang, instantaneous.
This summer. Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
I'm really glad we had a girl in a bikini with a snake here this morning. I think it made an impression.
Sends the right message.
On our next guest, we want to welcome these guys to the studio. First time in Philadelphia. These guys are starting to make some waves in the music industry.
Big time.
And they're one of the rare duos that goes out and can really make a lot of sound and have put it together. They're from the UK, and we want to welcome Mike Kerr and Ben Thatcher. This is Royal Blood.
Yeah.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Yeah.
Good morning.
How you doing, Mike?
We're doing really well, thank you.
Okay, so Ben cozied up to Lisa over here with the snake a little while ago and had an experience there. Are you, he said you were terrified of snakes. Is that true?
Mike is terrified of snakes.
Not the biggest fan.
Okay. Yeah, you're about 8 feet away from a boa constrictor.
It's just a little guy, though.
Keeps you on edge, doesn't it? Keeps you on the edge.
It does, yeah. It might add an element to your play today. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, listen. Some lizards in front of me, maybe, as well. Probably in the jungle.
I mentioned the fact of you guys being a duo. And when I came in this morning, you guys had all the equipment was already set up and everything. And I was wondering how you make the sounds that you do being only two people. And then I walked over and I looked at the pedals that you have over there, the effects racks, and the fact you have guitar amps and bass amps that you're hooked into. Did it take a while to figure out how to get that sound out of a bass guitar?
Yeah, I lost a lot of friends over it.
I'm sure. It's definitely loud. But I mean, it sounds like at minimum three people playing when it's just two of you guys. And it's got to be tough to achieve that.
Yeah, it can be difficult, you know. But like you said, the more amps, the merrier in our case.
Well, I was reading some of the reviewers and just raving about the sound, because there is an oh wow factor to the fact that it's just two of you. But then they comment on the exemplary level of musicianship. So you had to first figure out how to facilitate getting your sound out and then allow people to see what you're capable of. And it seems to be wowing the crowds, the reaction. I mean, you deal with that initially, I'm sure, when you come out on stage, people just want to see how it's done. And then they realize you guys can bring it.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, you know, I just concentrate on making as much noise as possible. And Ben is the one, really, that's the proper musician.
No, there we go. Okay, that's how it divvies up.
Ben, you're actually trained?
No.
Not at all.
How old are you guys, may I ask? You're very young.
I'm 24.
Yeah?
I'm 26.
Okay, all right. And have you guys been buddies since you were kids? Or?
We just met.
Oh, just met in the parking lot. Wow. That's great.
At the airport earlier.
Well, the band's been around since 2012. Was that? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
We've known each other since we were 15.
Okay.
We met at a gig and ended up being in bands together since. So.
Okay. Had there been more people that had joined you in other bands before? Or has it always just been you two?
We've been in all sorts of bands. We were in a wedding band.
A wedding band.
Yeah.
What was the most hated song of the evening at a wedding that you had to play at almost every wedding?
Don't Stop Believing.
Don't Stop Believing, really?
The Journey song.
I actually took lead vocal on that one. Yeah, I go off the drums, and because I got so bored of playing it on drums that I decided I wanted to sing it.
You actually got to be a really good singer to sing that song.
Well, they say that, yeah.
Nice. You're the Steve Perry.
All right, so you guys had been in a bunch of bands together, and then eventually you dropped the dead weight and just said, we can do this on our own. Is that how that happened?
Yeah, like this sound started evolving a bit, and I decided to start playing the bass and singing. I thought that would be fun.
Yeah.
Put me out of my comfort zone, and Ben was he's the first person I go to when I'm going to start some weird band.
Well, what took you out of your comfort zone? Are you actually a guitar player? Or?
I play piano, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't tell anyone.
Okay, and then when did you pick up bass?
Ben got a job as a session musician for like a punk rock band.
Yeah.
And it was like a week in the studio, come and play drums on this record. And I didn't have a job at the time, so he was like, why don't you come play bass on it? And knowing full well I didn't play the bass.
Get out.
I borrowed a bass from a friend, and I blagged the whole thing, just about.
Wow.
Ben spent the whole time just laughing at me, trying to play the bass. And that joke has gone way too far.
Right.
And now I'm
can't stop it now.
Yeah.
All right, so you literally have been playing the bass for how many years?
Probably 4 years.
Get
now.
Out.
Wow.
All right, because I was going to ask you about Christopher Wolstenholme from Muse.
Yeah.
We had a list not too long ago of like the top, 10 or 20 bass licks of all time. And Muse was in there. And I was like, what? I don't, they're too new, to
achieve that.
To achieve this, and you're talking about of all time. And then you go to like a Muse concert. Do you look up to this guy as a bassist and the sound that he puts out? Because this is a bass sound that doesn't necessarily sound like a bass, kind of like you.
Yeah, well, he got me thinking about that a lot, definitely.
Right.
And, listening to those early Muse records growing up were a big influence on both of us. Chris actually came to our show in London.
Did he?
Yeah. Said some very nice things to us.
That's very good.
Which was exciting.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, we've been playing Out of the Black. We're going to get a couple of songs out of him this morning. We're going to ask you guys about Glastonbury, too, because you played there. But first, I'd like to hear some music. You guys, I believe, are going to play Figure It Out for the first tune this morning?
Yeah, that's the one.
All right. And by the way, Royal Blood's album is self-titled. So if you're looking for that, look under Royal Blood, and you will be able to find it. So let's hear it, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe making their U.S. radio debut.
Yeah.
This is Royal Blood on MMR.
Like me, trying to cut some teeth, trying to figure it out.
my dreams, love's killing me, trying to figure it out. Nothing better to do when I'm stuck on you. I'm still while I'm here trying to figure it out. Trying to cut some teeth, trying to figure it out. Nothing better to do when I'm stuck on you. I'm still the one I'm here trying to figure it out. Let it go, cause I won't see you later. If I'm not allowed to talk it out, sit up, go, put myself on show.
Sound,
that
man.
Was awesome.
That was fantastic. And a lot of texts coming in. Are you sure that's just two guys playing?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Man, that has got some balls to it. If you're just tuning in, the band is called Royal Blood. Two guys only. We have Mike and Ben who are here. And the single is called Figure It Out. And you can stream that. It's available for pre-order on July 29th. And love it, man. That is that you can't tell that it's awesome. Just two guys. Yeah.
Let me ask you guys, because there is a lot of hype behind you guys right now, and it's been building. Because Out of the Black has been, you know, it's been played for a few months now. But over the last like couple of months, there, you know, and after your performance at Glastonbury, there's a lot of people talking about you. Now, are you believing the hype? You trying not to let it get to your heads? How do you feel about all that?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, obviously, we keep doing. There's the stuff that happens and shows that we do that are really overwhelming, and that's something we always take in, I think. But I don't know, that we're in a bit of a bubble when we play.
Right, right.
There's like, even when we're in front of an uncomfortable amount of people, doing this is very comfortable. Like, if I didn't have a bass on and he was behind a drum kit, would be like terrified.
So yeah. You're in your element. So at Glastonbury, you're in front of what, 15, 16,000 people?
Yeah, around that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's a benchmark for any band. The reaction was huge. So, but I guess in a sense, you don't have time to really take it in because it's accelerating so fast. For just 4 years of doing whatever the hell you're doing, it's pretty amazing to see that on the bass and to generate that sound. I mean, do you have a backlog of music? A lot of times when an artist breaks or a band comes out, they've been working on stuff for a while, so they have a lot of stuff in the queue ready to go. Would that be your case now, or are you still...
Well, we spent a lot of time just in a rehearsal space.
Okay.
Not playing any shows. It's weird, actually, because the first time we met up to start the band, we went through playing together for an hour and did a show the next day.
Is that right?
And then we probably did three more shows. I mean, I say shows, we were playing in pubs and open mic nights.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, disturbing people while they were trying to eat dinner.
Well, to fill out some of that time at Glastonbury, did you whip out "Don't Stop Believing" just to?
Yeah, we did as an encore, but no one was around for it.
Hey, what other bands at Glastonbury did you guys get to see? Did you have any favorites? Was there anybody that blew you guys away?
Yeah, we got to see Dolly Parton.
No kidding. She's awesome.
And she did the Benny Hill theme.
Yes, she did.
And then she did it backwards and she turned around and
that's
did it.
Yeah.
She was one of the best interviews we ever. Do you guys, she is a legitimate legend. I think a lot of people are dismissive of Dolly Parton, but that's cool, yeah.
Yeah, she was great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Nice. Is there the phenomenon of the here we talk about, you know, garage bands and it's referenced a lot when people refer to your music and the raw sound of
that
it.
That would be garage band.
Yeah, garage bands.
Yeah.
Is that a similar thing in England? Are there, you know, just kids in their garages, as you say, Preston? You know, playing. Or where do you have to go down to the pub if you want to play? How does that scene develop in England?
Well, I mean, from where we're from, Brighton, there's a big scene for, you know, bands, and
right.
I guess it's become easier and easier to record your own music.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
there's a lot more bands, garage bands, coming out. You know, where all you have to do is have a laptop and a very simple equipment, and you can make your own record literally in your garage.
Are you guys
or the
good
bathroom.
At that?
Oh, we're starting a new genre. It's called bathroom.
Good acoustics. Are you guys good? I mean, can you sit down with Pro Tools yourself and chop stuff up? And not really.
We like to just concentrate on doing what we do. Really.
Okay.
I mean, that takes a long time to learn how to do.
And, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it can get in the way when you're just going crazy over how much reverb should be on the symbol.
Right.
Hey, Mike, you were at one point in that song, you did kind of a dive with the bass there. Were you just sliding down the neck or were you using an effect on that? Because that sounded really cool.
I'm sworn to secrecy.
I tried to look over and see what your feet were doing, and I couldn't see from my point of view.
He was just dancing.
Yeah.
I was just trying to tune it, actually. Yeah, it wasn't quite in tune, just bending that down a bit. Sorry about that, everyone.
No, it's just some really cool, unique sounds that you guys have. We're going to play Out of the Black. We're going to have them play Out of the Black, I should say. So let's get it. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, this is Royal Blood on MMR.
Trigger for a high.
balls to the wall, man.
You said, and when we played the song, you know, on the air, you said, "Well, that's rock."
Yeah,
and it is.
It's just a driving forward, straight ahead piece of rock music.
It hooks you, which is great. Yeah. Awesome stuff, guys.
Yeah,
it's wild to see it. I encourage people to check out.
And like Casey was saying, the kind of the buzz on these guys in the industry is really starting to build. So this may be the hey, I saw them way back when.
Yeah.
I think the next time they come through Philly, they're not going to be playing the Underground Arts.
Yeah, but they are here now in our studio with a girl in a bikini with a snake.
What else could you ask for?
Wonderful things.
By the way, Underground Arts is a great venue.
Sure.
That was sort of backhanded a little bit.
I don't know.
It is a wonderful venue. Yeah.
No, but you mean just larger.
Sure.
Yeah. Down the road. So that's cool. You guys excited to be here in the U.S. and bring this stuff over?
This is the dream.
This is the dream.
In America, there's snakes. We're on the radio.
Well done.
It's pretty much all complete here. Yeah. You've got it all. Yeah.
The album, like I said, self-titled Royal Blood, and you can stream the new single, Figure It Out, the album you can grab. So,
for Kathy's birthday.
That's right.
Happy birthday, Kathy.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Mike and Ben, pleasure to meet you. Thank you guys for being here
this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Cheer for Royal Blood. Yeah. Fantastic.
Now, more with Preston and Steve. Preston and Steve. On 93.3 WMMR. Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
The Bizarre File, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Fuel your summer with iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts, starting at $2. America runs on Dunkin', excludes cold brew, plus applicable taxes. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
All right. I try my best to make sure that stories are legitimate, that I give it to you in the Bizarre File. Every now and then, one, I'm kind of like, I don't know. I didn't have a chance to really research this, so I'm going to go ahead and present the story anyway.
This is unvetted, potentially fake news.
Possibly. A story on social media has left everyone a bit baffled. Kuzma Vatai, a 78-year-old woman, has a very unusual diet that's apparently kept her healthy over the years. Her diet consists of eating 2 kilograms of sand and gravel every day.
Sand?
Which she has enjoyed for over 6 decades.
You eat sand?
Now, we've met people and seen people eat sand before.
We had a dude eat sand on the show, and he ate a bowl full of sand.
But 2 kilograms,
that's 3,000 pounds.
That's like a pound and a half or something
like that.
That's
like a pound and a half.
That's a bit much. Kuzma has said that...
Well, you eat sand.
What's your dietary requirement as far as sand goes?
You eat sand?
So, apparently...
I'll tell you what, though, man. It's clearly what keeps her hot.
She's 78 years old. She said she loves eating sand, so... And doesn't see any harm in doing so.
And I like using cats to wipe my ass.
It apparently has made her body tougher. She hasn't visited a doctor during that time.
Her body's crawling with cancer, but she's got sand in her mouth.
We ate sand.
She started eating sand from the age of 15 when she experienced a stomach ache, and it's been part of her life ever since.
I wonder if there's perhaps a medicinal... Everything in moderation. No. Sand in moderation.
Yeah, like a shot of sand and apple cider vinegar every
single
morning.
Day.
Yes. Yeah, possibly.
In fact, if you can do it in a crock pot, even better.
I love this story. After her husband refused to have sex with her, a 61-year-old Florida woman punched her spouse in the face twice before kneeing him in the groin.
There you go.
According to police who arrested the woman for domestic battery, as detailed in a criminal complaint, a tipsy Carrie Lee Pinero.
Oh, my balls!
Last night, clobbered her husband inside the couple's condominium in Seminole, and a Pinero, cops charged, became upset with the 60-year-old victim after he would not have sex with her. After punching her husband in the eye, Pinero kneed him in the groin when he sought to keep her from driving from their home. He's also accused of kneeing her spouse in the groin a second time and then kneeing him in the thigh. When questioned by a cop, Pinero said,
"Oh my thigh!"
She had zero story, adding that she wanted to go to jail. So she was charged with domestic battery, and she was released the following day. A man is in custody after going on a bizarre rampage overnight around Swedish Hospital First Hill campus, ramming vehicles with a pickup truck, smashing windows, blasting loud music, and spray painting cars' windows while he was completely naked. Drugs were believed to be a factor in the incident.
They're saying he might have been on drugs.
It ended hours later following a standoff with a SWAT team. It began around 12:30 a.m. Officers received a call. They went to a parking garage and apparently he kept ramming into cars. And they found him driving erratically in circles when he got there. He's just spinning around in circles.
This is in Sweden?
Yeah. Officers deployed spike strips. The truck's tires were flattened, but the suspect kept driving around. He eventually parked the truck. They could see the man was naked. He grabbed a hammer and smashed out the windows of another vehicle inside the garage. He then jumped into that vehicle and spray-painted the windows on the inside in an effort to conceal himself. But SWAT team officers used their vehicles to block the truck, and then they tased him while he was naked.
What a day!
Covered in paint.
Uh-huh. What an incredible day.
Is our last one? All right, yeah, our final story. A North Carolina man survived a horrifying face-to-face encounter with a 390-pound bear. Mike Wilson was bear hunting with dogs when he turned around and looked the massive bear in the eyes.
So, what's the gun for? What are you hunting today, buddy? You hunting deer? Are you hunting cougars? And watch your answer carefully.
The bear, who swiped his face and neck, barely missed his jugular vein and then ran away after the encounter.
That shirt doesn't fit quite right. What if we take your arms off?
Wilson says that he was coming down a hill and the bear was coming up when the incident occurred.
I know.
But when he saw the bear, his first instinct was to shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
But he quickly realized that taking the bear down...
I'm too close, aren't I?
...wouldn't be easy.
Your first instinct to shoot me, but I'm far too close for you to do that. So the question is, what you gonna do?
And he said, shoot it, of course, and I did. But trying to get another shell in my gun, it just overran me and knocked me down the hill. So a hunter and his group arrived and later killed the bear before taking Wilson to the hospital. He received 30 stitches.
How would you like another butthole? You know, sound like one of those circus calliopes when you fart. I can make it happen.
Well, the group later hung the bear and skinned it. So.
Bear's just doing what a bear's got to do.
That's right, man.
I mean, he's hunting the bear.
Yeah.
Turnabout is fair play.
Who's the bad guy here? All right, anyhow, and that's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Grilling season is here, and they have done it again at Omaha Steaks. This is the one and only deal that you can get. It is the Omaha Steaks Grill Ready Collection, a limited time for only $39.99. You heard that right. $39.99 is 80% off, and here's what you get. 2 tender filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 traditional kielbasa sausages, 4 award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, an Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and for this deal, you get 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets for free. Did you hear all of that? You get, it's for $39.99. And what's wonderful about this is you're not going to have to stop off at the store on the way home. It's already going to be there ready to go. This limited time package for only $39.99 is available when you go to omahasteaks.com. Type Gadzooks in the search bar and add the Grill Ready Collection to your cart. Don't wait. You want to get this offer soon for summertime. Go to omahasteaks.com. Type Gadzooks in the search bar. Grab your friends and fire up the grill.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston & Steve Show podcast.
Steve, you had mentioned SpaghettiOs a couple of times.
Yeah.
Is that like in a full-blown... 100% Italian family, you can't have SpaghettiOs, right?
Oh, I would imagine.
Is that like totally
so
illegal?
Completely in their vernacular, verboten. No, it would be.
I gotta believe that. Now, Kathy, you come from an Italian family.
Would you have SpaghettiOs in a full Italian family?
I mean, we actually all hate it. I mean, my dad's side, who is the Italian side, no, they would absolutely never do that. My mom, maybe because it's easier; she doesn't have to cook. So,
yeah, but the general rule is if it comes out of a can, it doesn't qualify. Yeah.
Forget it.
Right? I love. I mean, Italian cuisine is probably my favorite cuisine, but.
I could easily have a can of SpaghettiOs. Sure. No problem.
Although I do have to say, so she doesn't get mad at me, my mom is not much of a cook. However, my grandmother, before she passed away, my dad's mother, did teach my mom how to make her own gravy from scratch. So she does do that, and it is very good. So we had that a lot growing up.
Oh, so you had that a lot.
Yeah.
Wait, gravy or sauce?
No,
gravy?
No. Sauce. Okay. Yeah. Like spaghetti sauce.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. It's gravy.
Gravy's brown.
You know what, though? Sauces. There is a definition of gravy, and I read it one time, and Italians take offense to it a little bit, that a gravy, by definition, man, it's made
has
by
meat
something.
In it or something?
Yeah,
like
or it's made by, I forgot. I saw it one time.
Franco-American?
Actually, let me go to Alfredo. He wants to comment on this on SpaghettiOs. Alfredo?
Hey, what's happening?
Yeah, man, so you wanted to jump in on this? What'd you want to tell us?
I just wanted to say that anything from a jar... Prego ragu is illegal.
It's just illegal.
SpaghettiOs is illegal.
Punishable by
made from the tomatoes.
Okay.
Punishable by two in the back of the head.
When you have, and Alfredo, I'm sure you know, but when you have like a real deal Italian grandmother, whatever, that can make this stuff. Oh, it's just the best. The scene where Clemenza is showing Michael how to make the gravy, and the original, it looks so delicious.
Mama mia, you got to use the pork. You got to use the pork oil. You got to use it all. You got to get the scrapings from the pan. You got to put it all in there.
Yeah, right. I like that.
Thanks, Alfredo. I
would eat Alfredo's house.
You know what I always had a little bit of an issue with was in Goodfellas. Where he slices the garlic with a razor blade.
In prison.
Yeah. It's slicing it with razor blades is a new crap.
But that's all he has in prison, right?
He did it because he sliced it so thin.
Extra thin.
It melts. Yeah, no, it's, you know, if you use a little bit of salt and you can kind of puree it, and that's where you get the most flavor.
And let me tell you something. You have a little tomatoes, it's good. It stops anal cancer. Oh, that's Kathy's mother says.
I read recently that tomatoes, and this is to back your mom up a little bit, Kat, that because of the lycopene, it can actually help fight prostate cancer. Like, Italian men have significantly lower rates of prostate cancer because of the number of tomatoes that they eat.
Hey, I drink tomato juice every day, virtually every day.
Yeah.
Nick, my mom already knows that.
Okay, yeah. Red fruits and vegetables, Steve, because of the lycopene, are supposed to be helpful in preventing cancers.
I have a V8 every day.
There you go. You're cancer-free.
It's funny because I told Kathy the other day, speaking about just Italians in general, the movie was on
Kung Fu.
Nope. It was My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And even though they're Greeks,
same. Yeah,
there's
sort of
a
vibe.
Certain bigness about that ethnicity and Italians that kind of go hand in hand.
I love it.
And there's a scene where the two brothers say, hey, so you better be nice. I'm going to kill you. Hey, we're really excited about you being in the family. You heard her. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut your throat. Hey, I'm just kidding there. It reminds me of Kathy's brothers for some reason. I don't know why. I've never seen them doing that, but you know what I mean?
Oh, we've had that happen in the family for sure. Yes,
threatening?
My one cousin told my brothers who... It's now his ex-girlfriend. My brother has married someone else, but at the time they had dated for years, and we were at a wedding, and he said, we love you so much, but you know, if you do anything, I'm going to slit your throat. And we, for years, we laughed about it, and then they broke up, and we were like, uh-oh, Bob's going to go get
us. Yeah.
I have people weighing in about the gravy versus salt sauce conversation. I can't speak.
Here, try Mr. Goodbar. It helps.
It's a great speech.
Yes, you've been doing wonderful.
Enhancer.
Let me go to Suzanne. Suzanne, good morning.
Hey there, good morning. You guys rock my world.
Oh, we love you. Thank you, darling. What'd you want to tell us?
Well, if there are meat drippings in the sauce, it then becomes a gravy.
And
if there are no meat drippings, it's sauce.
Okay. So, and you come from an Italian family?
No, I'm a Metagon, but I work with all kinds
She's
of
She's a transformer.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. Metagon.
Oh, my God.
I looked at you when she said Metagon. I'm like, what does that mean? She's a transformer. What's a Metagon?
Metagon is American, not Italian. You're a Metagon.
A Metagon.
Oh, I got you.
I thought you were like maybe a VW that turned into a...
So like a marinara would be considered a sauce? There's no meat in a marinara, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you, Suzanne. I always get the spaghettini bolognese.
That's always good.
Right.
It's basically meat sauce, right?
Yeah.
You can talk the talk.
Yeah.
Hey.
sounds. But so if it has any meat or meat drippings in it, it becomes a gravy?
I guess so.
That's what a couple of people are saying.
Yeah. Right. Let me go to Nikki here real quick. Hey, Nikki, how you doing?
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? Are you Italian?
I am Italian.
All right, and what'd you want to tell us?
I'm 32 years old, and I have still never had SpaghettiOs in my life or any pasta from a can.
Oh, my God. You know,
I can imagine that's the case.
Yeah, it would probably be just punishable by death, but I've had SpaghettiOs, the ravioli, what are they, Preston? Raviolios, or what are they?
Well, there's beefaroni.
Beefaroni, all that crap. And, like that. And not only that, I've eaten it cold out of the can.
Oh, I've done that for sure. Nikki, also, you want to try some SpaghettiOs? We can get some. Have you come in here and try them for the first time?
Sure, I'd love to.
All right, hang on a second.
Italian women are awesome.
Should we get a bunch of Italians and SpaghettiOs in here and have
Well, I've never had any of that stuff.
Really?
All right, so my favorite was beefaroni, and then SpaghettiOs was second. We should probably do all of them. You know, mini raviolis.
I actually liked Chef Boyardee overstuffed meat ravioli.
That's good stuff.
And I'd even eat that cold out of
and
the
by,
can,
by
too.
The way, I love as well. Homemade, real deals.
Now,
wonderfully made. But
I liked this stuff as a kid. Yeah. I don't think I'd like it now. After my tastes have changed, and I actually love real good Italian food. That I don't think I'd like it now.
No, I don't think you would either.
No,
because it's not very good.
They have genocetti in a can.
Genocetti.
Ooh, good question.
Should
we get a chef?
Well,
to
that's
prepare
the Italian way to
these,
say it.
Like actual, yeah,
actual chef.
Ah, well, I'm down with any of it.
Hang on
don't you just
here.
Heat it up?
Yeah.
You don't even have to do that. I would eat it with the fork out of the can.
No.
Let me see. I have a lot of people calling in with their special sauce. By the way, that's a guarded secret, usually, within the family.
Frank is contending.
The gravy recipe.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's passed down.
Mm-hmm. My mom keeps saying that she has to teach me because I don't know how to make anything either.
My recipe that I've shared is my family's fried rice recipe. I know you guys think it's weird, but I eat it several
fried
times.
Rice? I love fried rice.
I make my own. I mean, it's not like the stuff you get at your takeout Chinese joint.
Yeah.
How do you
make it for you sometime.
You fry it?
Kathy makes really good guppies.
Guppies?
Redstone.
Let me go to Jordan. Hey, Jordan, how you doing?
Hey, you guys rock.
Thanks. Hey. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, my grandmother, she's off the boat Italian. She comes from
Italy?
She comes from Italy. Like, some small part to Beijing. 2 hours away from Rome. And she makes the best sauce in the world. I swear to God, it melts in your mouth.
Yeah. Does she do the how does she make it? Because does she make it in a
it's already liquid. I don't know how it melts in your mouth. But.
Well, the way she makes it, she doesn't buy the canned sauce. She takes tomatoes. She squashes them and she puts them in boiling water to save them in cans or bottles.
Yeah.
And then the way she cooks it is she takes oil with garlic, crushes it up, and sautés it. And then she puts a sauce in there.
Yeah.
And then she takes ground beef, carrots, chop up carrots.
Ooh, carrots.
I don't need the whole recipe. That's all. It sounds really good, Jordan.
Swear to God, it will melt in your mouth.
Are you soaking in it right now?
I wish, but she's on a cruise right now, and she'll be coming back tomorrow. But when she comes back, I'm going to ask her to make her favorite sauce.
All right. That's cool.
Okay, hang on. I have to turn Steve's microphone off.
It literally just fell from the stand.
Even my microphone's hungry. Hey, remember when Bob Dodge's mom made us meatballs?
Hey, remember when Bob Dodge's mom made
Remember that, guys?
Hey, you remember that?
It was good meatballs.
Here, you want me to turn that off?
Turn it off.
All right, let me turn
it off.
Now, I just had an idea in that segment.
What?
I know, Steve.
What was that idea?
He's got to yell. I don't know if we would ever do this or not, but there are chili cook-offs. There are best burger contests. There are pizza contests.
Yeah. There are.
I've never heard of a gravy contest.
There's got to be.
Obviously. Let's do it. Or not locally, I haven't heard of. Obviously, it's a guarded family secret. True. It's one that people take a lot of pride in.
True.
Do you like my idea?
I do.
Okay.
Especially because I like a great, I love a great homemade, I love a really well-made sauce or gravy, depending on what you're talking about. And it's my favorite cuisine. I would love, in this city,
mm-hmm.
could you imagine what you get?
Yeah. I think we should do something. Let me know when you're done.
I think it would be great.
Steve is actually screwing his microphone onto the stand.
It's not on, by the way, secure enough. Right, it's going to fall again. But,
but the threads are wrapped up on it.
Oh, here, let me help.
Steve and I fiddle with the microphones a lot. I'm always pulling on it, straightening it, tugging on it,
you can put it back on.
Scraping it.
There you go. Hey.
Casey fixed it. Who needs engineering?
Hang on, let me go to Stephanie here. Hey, Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Stephanie?
So, the idiots you have on your show that are calling and saying they're Italian, they're not Italian.
Uh-huh, really?
Silly.
Tell
us. You do not call marinara with meat drippings gravy. It's just not done in Italy. It's just not done.
So, marinara with meat drippings is not called gravy.
It is not gravy. South Philly's call it gravy. New Jerseyans call it gravy. People from Italy do not call it gravy. I came home one day. I was maybe 6, 7 years old. And I said to my great-grandfather, who had come off the boat, and he's like, so we're having, spaghetti and meatballs for dinner. And I'm like, I can't wait to try your gravy. He backhanded me across the face for calling it gravy.
Really?
It is not gravy.
He really hit you?
He backhanded me across the face. I had a bruise on the side of my face.
Sounds like a dick.
What a loving home.
Yes.
Why don't you get back on the boat?
I don't think it had to do with gravy.
You need a whore. What did you say? You insult me and my family. I'll kill you. Somebody off their Ambien?
Dude, I tell you what.
I will kill you.
I will cut out of your uterus for what you just say to me.
Your uterus?
I will ruin your chance to ever have children.
I would call hamburgers bananas if every time I called
you a hamburger. Whore!
If I got hit every time I called it a hamburger.
It's more of the fact that when you came off the boat, you tried to integrate and you call it something special.
It's not just walked off the boat and you say that to me.
it's angry.
Do you see how steep that gangplank is? My calf muscles are hurting me.
No, that's a took it seriously, Stephanie. That's a great story. And we love you. I appreciate it.
First time we're gonna kill you, Danny, your mother. You call this a breadstick? Unbelievable!
What is it?
I just came from a home. I burned it down. I killed everyone. I raped the women and I shot the dog in the head. Why? The ravioli wasn't right. I just dipped 4 children in acid, and I blew up an orphanage because it's not a gravy. I have just introduced a deadly toxin into the water system of Philadelphia. Why? Because that is not the spaghetti.
Take your naming of food seriously.
Yeah.
I have just flooded the subway system with ricin.
Ricin?
Because I want a simple ricin. That is not the spaghetti.
So
it's an old world mentality.
Yeah. But, all right, but this girl's story. Were the immigrants forced to call it something else rather than what they were calling it?
Why would they be forced? Why would they be forced?
Oh, my God.
I got a lot of chest congestion and I almost puked.
I'm going to throw up. I'm going to throw up. Don't you dare throw up in front of me. I will kill your whole family and burn down your home.
Are my eyes bloodshot?
Yeah, I don't know, but that throw-up
sounds. Because I am crying. I have tears. They're not quite running down my cheeks, but they're really close. Oh.
I have recently come into possession of a nuclear warhead. We shall play it on the detonating until you get your raviolis right.
Oh.
I mean, come on. Bill is not going to be happy with that.
No, he will not be.
Turn your microphone off.
Or just have it fall off like mine does.
I apologize, man. I've been having a... I've had all this chest congestion.
Have a good bar.
Mr. Good Bar, fix that up.
That's not a... You call that a Mr. Good Bar?
All right, apparently there are sauce cook-offs. I'm getting a lot of calls and texts.
Well, there's not the official president of Steve's sauce cook-off.
Vendemia in Delaware has a sauce cook-off every October. Is that a restaurant, I guess?
It's hard to tell.
It's Delaware.
No, not... It's a state. Let me go to Tom. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Is that a restaurant, Vendemia?
No, actually, it's a group. It's a part of the Italian-American heritage down here. We reach out to South Philly, South Jersey, Delaware, Newcastle County area. And every couple of times a year, we have a big charity event that we use to help support the community. But down on the waterfront in October is when they have the event. It's a beautiful thing. You get a wine glass, you go around and you get wine.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then they have a big cook-off for the sauce. They have a Italian band playing all day long. It's a wonderful thing.
Tom, that just has to be an absolute orgy of eating.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the restaurant, all the local restaurants and the bakeries come.
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
In this area, in Delaware, but I mean, look, you go down to the Italian market area. I mean, you know, look, just the amount of just awesome Italian restaurants in the city.
Oh.
It's astonishing.
Yeah, we've got to rank way up there in the country with great Italian establishments.
Hey, Press, would it be called like a sauce cook-off or a gravy cook-off? Or?
Well, I don't know. Let me go to Alfredo. Is this the Alfredo that called in earlier, or is this a different Alfredo?
Yeah, this is the same Alfredo. Okay. I was calling it because Stephanie called, and she's absolutely right with that gravy. Gravy was made up by South Philly people, by Brooklyn Italian-Americans. It's just a slang. It's all bull crap with the gravy, with the meat dripping.
All right, because Alfredo, when I've said the word sauce before to an Italian-American in Philadelphia, I've been told, no, it's gravy.
Right.
So, actually, they're full of crap. It's sauce.
It's absolutely right. Yeah, in South Philly, it is gravy. We call it gravy. I call it gravy growing up. Everybody calls it gravy in South Philly. In reality, it's really sauce. Marinara is fresh tomatoes made with fresh basil.
Okay, so Alfredo, when meat is introduced, it becomes gravy, correct?
Well, no, that's not true. That's
the hell?
But according to a South Philly definition, that's the deal.
It's right. Always gravy.
Italian American. Gravy is red sauce, period, in South Philly.
No, Casey, it's always sauce.
No, he's saying it's always gravy.
Well, which is the slang, though. It's all about the slang.
It's always rum and
fajero. But,
this cook-off we're going to have, I'm going to come in, I'm going to make three different sauces, three gravies for you. One's going to be a marinara with basil, one's going to be a meat, and one's going to be some beautiful crab.
Hang on a second, because I got to go back to Stephanie's story. Did she get bitch slapped for saying sauce or gravy?
Gravy.
She got... Okay.
Yeah, her gravy grandfather said it was sauce.
Yeah. So that's why I was saying to you, it's sauce. What he's saying is the slang term for it here in South Philly or Brooklyn or wherever is gravy. They changed it to gravy.
Okay. All right, Alfredo, make sure you stay in touch with us. I like you, all right?
You got it. I'll be back.
Dude, if we do this, you're a part of it. Right. I want to taste what this guy can cook.
You got it. Ciao.
All right. Ciao. Francesca Rinaldi.
Hey.
You know what I love is vodka sauce.
Oh, me too. Me too.
If I see it, I order it.
Yeah.
I'm almost always. It's so good.
That with Ginocchetti is great.
The vodka sauce and Ginocchetti.
Yeah.
I would like your spaghetti and your Ginocchetti, please.
Yes.
How's your lasagna?
Or as Casey ordered one time, we were at Olive Garden. Yeah. Can I get some pasta fagioli, please?
I don't know how you get fusilla out of that.
I don't know either. All right, anyhow. Well,
this was fun.
this was
Food chat is always a home. I mean, right. we're just
Well, and it keyed off of Mobster Menu.
Mobster Menu.
The game that we got from Steve, which is very cool.
Well, our general sales manager has a great idea for a gravy sauce cook-off. So.
All right, let's talk about it.
We got those guys behind us.
Right, dude. Well, maybe we'll make that happen. National Tomato Camp. I'm sorry, I didn't know that it already existed. I wasn't familiar.
Listen,
chili cook-offs, some rib cook-offs, some wings and all that stuff, but I had never really heard of a sauce/gravy competition.
Doesn't mean we can't do it.
No.
It's a free country.
Hey, podcasters. It's Kathy Romano, and I'm here to tell you that it is finally your chance to win a spot to come to Kathy's Bitch Box Party. That's right. Our next Preston and Steve sorority party, which will be held on Thursday, August 23rd from 6 to 8 at Harris, Philadelphia, will be featuring the release of Kathy's Bitch Box Part 2. It's a 21 and older event. Winners and guests will each receive Kathy's Bitch Box, which is filled with some of my favorite products. Your first drink is free, plus a happy hour buffet. So I have personally handpicked these items that will go inside of the box, and I'd like to thank all of the contributors: Hey Honey, LC Boutique in Warrington, Original Drinking Buddies, True Beauty Concepts, Braided Charm, Yummy Bites, Marinella Jewelry, Bondi Band, Sets Beauty, Wind and Wave Soap, Wine Knots, Priori Skincare, Crest Toothpaste, and Jade Yoga. Thank you everyone who contributed to make this amazing Bitch Box. So here's what you have to do for your chance to win tickets to the event. Email your name, age, and phone number to podcast@WMMR.com. Again, that's name, age, phone number to podcast@WMMR.com for your chance to win. Thanks for podcasting. Good luck, and I hope to see you on Thursday, August 23rd from 6 to 8 at Harris, Philadelphia for the Preston and Steve Sorority Party, Kathy's Bitch Box event.
I can tell this is going to be a great interview because our next guest is actually wearing a shirt that says Sweep the Leg. Yeah. In reference to this little slice of heaven.
Sweep the Leg. You have a problem with that. Yes, Izzy. No mercy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Martin Cove is here in our studio. How you doing, man?
I'm wonderful. Wonderful.
Excellent. You were at Awesome Fest. You were in town for this. We just had Ralph on. We had Ralph Macchio on the show 2 days ago. And they had the screening of Karate Kid last night. And people are still nuts about this movie 30 years later.
Well, it's interesting. We had a question and answer session yesterday with... over at Wizard World, it's the first, autograph show I've ever done that has had a screening of a movie and a question and answer session.
Yeah.
And with the protagonists, and it's really interesting. It's so cultural to ask questions, and these people ask some really intelligent questions. Yeah. It wasn't like, how is it working with Jerry Weintraub? I mean, right. It wasn't that kind of thing.
Right.
And it was really devoted fans, and it was marvelous. I think... the people who run it are just right on. John Macaluso, he runs the whole thing. He's the CEO. And it's a different world to do a show where it's culturally oriented as well as autographs,
Yeah.
Well, you know what the deal is? This is a very big pop culture city. Our show is very pop culture driven. And you're talking about there's a reverential treatment for these iconic films. They are. And they're there's lots of fond memories. But it transcends now the whole industry of pop culture is big, but it has to be done right. Wizard World does it right, and they do it right with, obviously, you get to see the screening and all that stuff, and bringing in all the main characters is a great thing. Did you go through a phase where it sort of fell out of favor with you, you didn't want to be associated with it, and then refound it? Because sometimes you hear about people go through a trajectory because you get referenced so much from The Karate Kid. Was there a point at which you're like, I prefer not to deal with that?
A little bit, only towards the end of the 80s, because I did Karate Kid 1, 2, and 3, and then the tricky part was I got my own series in the third one, and the third vehicle was my vehicle.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I couldn't do it because I got something called Hard Time on Planet Earth, and it was a direct conflict.
I remember that series. It was a short-lived series.
Yeah, series, because, it had the writers from Predator, Jim and John Thomas, and they made it into an 8 o'clock show versus a tough, 10 o'clock show, which it should have been.
I liked it. It just didn't work.
But the bottom line was, it was bittersweet because, you know, Robert Kamen wrote the third installment as a vehicle for John Kreese.
Right.
And I had to bring in Terry Silver, who was my friend in the movie, and bring him in to do what I did in the film. And then I go off to Tahiti and have a vacation. And we had to do a major rewrite. So the concept of the Karate Kid movies became bittersweet to me because I couldn't do, and I felt I was letting down everybody, John Avildsen, Jerry Weintraub, and because I couldn't do, be part of the family for what had been two successes and now a third, and it was my vehicle. But there's, you know, Jeff Katzenberg would say, Martin, I love you in those, you know, movies, but we need you for this. It was a Disney series.
Right.
We need you here. We have a start date and you have to be here. What can you do, man?
Yeah, well, yeah. You were as a working actor, and you've remained, you were on Cagney and Lacey. You've been part of a successful series and successful movies, but you know, I assume that sometimes that happens in life where you're working on another project, especially with an actor, and something comes along that you can't be a part of because you made commitments.
Look at Tom Selleck. Tom Selleck had gotten Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Had gotten Raiders of the Lost Ark. To me, the most consummate action picture ever.
Yeah.
You know, and couldn't do it because of
Magnum.
Magnum PI. CBS wouldn't let him out.
And they tried to compensate with that. What was it, High Road to China? Was that the High Road to China.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't quite the same.
All right. So I want to ask you, when you got the role in Karate Kid, and as you're approaching your character and looking for his backstories, what was your answers as to why this guy was such a dick?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
I'm glad you put it in such an intellectual
direction. you were going to say you didn't think he was a dick? I thought he was a dick.
I think to it, I've always contended this, to his students, and yes, his motivation was bad, but they looked up to him. So there was something about...
Yeah, because they were dicks, too.
They were, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But do you know what I'm saying?
They were dicks in training.
Remember, the inner life, which was between the lines that I had created. Same question, which is why I liked the questions yesterday. The commentator was really great. His name was Josh Goldblum.
Right.
And he asked, you know, for intelligent questions. And one of the questions was, what was the backstory that was created for John Kreese? Why was he like the way he was?
Right.
And it was, you know, something an actor does when you finally get the part. And John Kreese was never lost, didn't lose in high school, didn't lose in college, and certainly didn't lose as a champion in martial arts in the Marines, in the Army, actually. And then when he went to Vietnam, like so many of our soldiers, we weren't allowed to win there. We just were not allowed to win.
Interesting.
And when he came back, he vowed that he'd open up dojos and his students would never experience losing. You know, like he did there. And ultimately, that's what he did. And he professed that. It was sort of an Aryan culture in the dojo, you know.
Yeah.
And
Billy Zabka, definitely very Aryan looking with the blonde hair and the whole,
Billy's great. He's a very awesome character.
Yeah.
You do have a martial arts background. What discipline did you study?
Well, I studied Taekwondo. We were doing a movie, mostly working with swords and doing a lot of kendo with Shion Takaboda, who is out in Los Angeles. And we were doing something from Morgan Llewellyn's book called Lion of Ireland. And it was a story of Brian Boru, and I was the Viking adversary, and all kinds of marvelous, you know, moves, kendo moves. And ultimately got Karate Kid, and then went back with working with Pat Johnson, and it was Taekwondo. And as I moved on through the years doing, you know, other martial arts, a picture called Steel Justice, and it was Okinawa Te, and I learned a different style with a man named Gordon Dovasola. And it was it was different than Taekwondo.
I remember that Steel. We were talking about this morning, and it was. I remember when that came out, and it was a Rambo style character. Was that meant to start a franchise?
Yeah, I always call it a poor man's Rambo.
Poor man's Rambo, but you were in part two.
I was in. I did Cagney and Lacey, and then I did this Rambo, and you know, it was one of those scripts. Bob Boris wrote it, and he wrote Oxford Blues and a couple of others, and I was so in a hurry to do something that I was a vulnerable guy I wasn't going to be John Kreese walking death, you know, you know, and right. This was a hero.
Yeah.
And I don't think the script was quite right yet, but you know, when you're doing a TV series, you have a window and you want to go out there and knock them out.
Sure.
And the best thing in the film business I've learned is wait until it's right.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. We were talking at that time. We were flooded with films that had that similar theme to it.
The rogue hero.
The Vietnam vet returning, being mistreated, being called upon to right a wrong and to come back in. And there were so many that they kind of, I kind of get lost of what movie was what movie and who was in what film. Was there a scene in Steel Justice where your character picks up a hot frying pan? And yes, that was it. I knew it.
Explain the scene.
You were cut or shot or something in the arm, and you happened to be in a kitchen, and there was a hot skillet on the stove, and you pick it up and seared it off.
I look at that scene the other day. It was on DirecTV. It was on something, and I watched it. The cauterizing.
Yeah.
And you sit and laugh. You know.
Yeah.
It was at a dinner party they were having, or some sort of luncheon. It was a hotel.
Yeah.
And I go first. I come through this big glass window, right?
Yeah.
Jump on the glass window, end up on the table, and on the table are all the cooking utensils that they're making something.
Right.
Pick up the frying pan, which is red hot.
Yeah.
And I just got shot in the arm. And cauterized that. And I look at myself and I said, "Wow." And you wonder why your back hurts now.
Yeah.
You wonder why you have shoulder pains. Yeah. You know, you look at some of these movies you did. I did a picture called White Line Fever.
Yeah, I remember that.
First got to Hollywood, and you always wanted more lines as a new actor. You just wanted more to do. And I didn't have a lot of lines. I was heavy. But it was fun. It was in Tucson, and I'm a big proponent of the Western, and I was down there, and I was driving all over the place. And every scene I did, I just would get punched and knocked down and everything, and Jan Michael Vincent and all. And so I had a retrospective of my movies at the Egyptian in Hollywood Boulevard, and I saw myself. And when you get hit, normally you fall down. Nowadays, I just fall down.
Right, yeah.
There, you'd loft yourself up 10
right.
feet, you know?
Yeah.
This new actor, you're vibrant, you want to do those action scenes to please everybody.
Yeah.
No.
That's did you cause a lot of damage?
A lot
of lingering
back,
stuff?
Yeah. New knee, new leg, you know, it's just...
You talk about being a fan of the Western, and you're in one of my favorite Westerns, Wyatt Earp, which I think is an under-celebrated movie. Lawrence Kasdan directed that?
Yes, yes.
What was that experience like? Because that movie... It was a big movie, but it didn't get the traction I think they thought it would get. But it's a great movie.
Great. Well, you know, I've been on the dais with historians in the Tombstone Film Festival and a variety of film festivals. And that movie is more factual than Tombstone.
Yeah.
It's not as entertaining in a sense because it's more glitzy.
Right.
You know, and it's also about the gunfight who kicked her out pretty much. But when Kevin, you know, I was in early on this wider project, and
Kevin Costner plays Wyatt Earp.
Kevin plays Wyatt Earp, and they were writing 3 2-hour episodes. Dan Gordon, who wrote Wyatt Earp, was writing 3 2-hour episodes for cable. And then when Larry came in, they made it one movie. And it was really the Corleone saga, but it was the West, with the Earp family. I mean, when I left that set, I cried. I had such a good time.
Yeah, that's got to be all. You're right. Tombstone is sort of the comic book, and it's a great movie, Tombstone.
Great movie.
Yeah. Are you in your element if you're doing a Western? Where are you most comfortable genre wise?
That element.
That element.
As a Brooklyn kid, you know, there's something about, I don't know, you just put on the duster or you. Every year I go to the Hole in the Wall where Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid used to hide out.
Wow.
And we ride 8 hours a day, 4 days a week to where, you know, they in Casey, Wyoming. And when you're there, I used to have the soundtrack of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly and Once Upon a Time in My West pumping in my ear. And they used to wonder why I would have the soundtrack going off when I was in the real place.
Yeah.
You know, in the real West. And it was because it was part of my imagination of what the kind of movies I'd always wanted to do.
The guy, Nick Murphy, who does our video for the show, has just gotten into Westerns, you know, on the level we were talking about this. And the American Western movie is just great. A lot of times people just, I don't know if I'm interested in that, but they're classic stories. I mean, you know, the Hidden Fortress became The Magnificent Seven. You know, they're all stories of redemption. It's very cool. You've been in a number of cult movies, and I was doing research on you. You were in the original Wes Craven Last House on the Left, which I remember when that came out, people were like, "Oh my God, unbelievable!" Well, because it was considered incredibly brutal.
Violent, yeah. Brutal.
What was that like?
Oh, I didn't really.
Was that 72?
Yeah, 72. Yeah. Wes Craven's first film, and I just finished working with James Ivory, a movie called Savages.
Yeah,
and they wanted me to play Krug, the crazy guy who was the leader of the gang, and I said, "I really, you know, this." this character is just repulsive.
Did you have a fear that would set you, because you'd be typecast as that?
I think I sort of, he was so vicious. Yeah, and yeah. It was so, for 1972, the promo in the newspapers was, it's only a movie.
Yeah.
It's only a movie. It's only a movie. Mm-hmm. Bottom line was, I got David Hess, who was a wonderful actor, and he played Krug, and I dressed him up in 5 sweaters, made him look as big as I was, and he wrote Speedy Gonzales. He wrote a lot of music in the past, and he went in there, knocked it out, got the part.
Right.
I played the comic relief deputy, and it's a huge successful movie.
It's still wild, and you watch it today, it's still a troubling movie, man.
Yeah. When I did the commentary, Cagney and Lacey's company, Orion Pictures, released it on video. They had the rights, and I went in and did the commentary, and I had nothing nice to say.
So it was a bad experience. Wow.
I can't really tell you about this.
I hated this goddamn movie.
I didn't really like this movie. You know?
That's wild.
Hey, but just joining us, it's Martin Cove, who we're talking to, of course, you know, from the Karate Kid, Sensei Reese. But you know what? I'm looking at your list of credits, and you've had some pretty kick-ass names in your characters that you've portrayed, Martin. And I wanted to find out maybe a couple of your favorites, because I'm seeing a few of them here, like Silver Bush, Rex Barnett, Othello Lazarus, Bingo Brown, and rumored that you'll be a guy named Rattlesnake Dick. Or maybe the inflection is Rattlesnake Dick. You know what I mean?
Either works.
Are there any names that stand out as, and I'm sure as an actor, you see a name first and you're like, ooh.
That's cool.
I can settle into that.
In those Westerns, you know, what happens now is, you know, because I love Westerns so much, people send you these movies and you say, okay, I'm interested in doing that. Then all of a sudden it goes on IMDb and you're doing it and you're in pre-production and they haven't even got the money yet.
Right.
You know, but you have all this list and they're all, those Rattlesnake movies and every one of those names is from a Western that's about to happen. And it wasn't so much that I love the name, even though I've been punched and slapped by little kids, you know, in supermarkets when they come up to me and said, you hurt Ralph. And bam.
That's great.
I mean, that name Crease is much more notorious than anything else.
And Rattlesnake Dick.
Rattlesnake Dick. Rattlesnake Dick we haven't heard from yet.
Yeah.
It says rumored, so I don't know if that's true or not.
It's a good rumor.
Yeah.
It's another life, you know. It's the Outland life, you know. Yeah. But those things happen, and then if the movie's good, like everything else, if the movie's good, everybody will remember Rattlesnake Dick.
Preston, you know what he's in? And it's one of a great cult movie, the original Death Race with
you
David
were in
Carradine.
That with Stallone and
you were Neo the what was your name? Neo the hero. Yeah.
Sly and I used to have the same clockmaker. He was a personal manager back in New York, early 70s, and we know each other for a long time. And we came out to California pretty much the same time. And the movie we did, I think the first film we did was Capone with Ben Gazzara. He played Frank Nitti, and I played this guy, Pete Guzenberg. But right after that, Roger Corman said, come and do this, Death Race 2000 movie. Yeah. And I said, oh, okay. Yeah, I'm in town all of 6 months. And Sly had a good part, and I played Nero the Hero. Strangest movies I've ever.
He played Machine Gun Joe Perturbo.
That's right.
And Carradine.
Frankenstein was Carradine.
And the whole idea was the race, you'd go across country and you would get points for running over a woman with a stroller.
Or with a baby. Or senior citizens
and
were
it was,
a certain
it
amount
was
of
a,
points.
Right, a satirical thing. And it got a lot of cult traction.
Now I see why the show's successful.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was a good bad movie, as I've said before.
You worked with Charles Bronson in the White Buffalo, which is a movie I like a lot. Was he one of the ultimate Hollywood badasses?
Let me tell you, I just about a month ago got an award. I received an award in Newhall. There's a Walk of Western Fame where I live, and I received an award. Took it for Charles Bronson because his kids were not available. Charles Bronson was really a softie.
Was he?
I'm going to tell you, I had such a good time with him on The White Buffalo. I played Jack McCall, and the major scene we did together was cut out. But it's the meeting of Jack McCall and Wobbly Hickok 4 years before Jack McCall shoots him. And must have been, it was 1976, about 1989, I'm at a black tie affair. And Bronson is out there, and I walked up to him, and I said, Charlie, do you remember me from The White Buffalo? And he takes a long pause, and he goes, do I remember you? Are you still doing that series with them girls?
Cagney and Lacey.
The guy was a Cagney and Lacey major fan.
No what? Way.
Is that wild?
Wild. Beyond me. I mean,
that's awesome.
You, you know, you think of The Great Escape. You think of all the, you know, everything.
Death Wish.
You know, Death Wish, yeah, all that. And yet he, but, you know, all the reports about Charlie Bronson being a loner.
Yeah.
Might have been true, but I got along with him. You know, you just don't make yourself into a pest.
That's
know?
Wild.
Can you just hear it? You're doing that series with them girls.
Yeah.
That's this it. Is my that's tunnel. It. I dug it. I built it.
Right. Yeah.
Danny,
yeah.
It's okay. Go through. Yeah. You can make it through.
Danny the Tunnel King from The Great Escape.
Yeah. Fantastic.
He's sitting at home watching Cagney and Lacey.
Yeah.
That's killer.
That's wild.
So. And he was a soft-hearted guy. When you talked to him, he was very, you know, cordial.
Yeah.
Wasn't it all, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So at the convention, do you love that interaction with the what kind of fans, what kind of people do you encounter, you know, who's
across the board, you know, they all love to talk, and they all, some ask inane questions, and some, you know, they say, how is it working with that pen, you know?
Yeah.
and some ask some really good questions.
Who surprised you as a fan? I mean,
when these little kids, yesterday at the question and answer session, have really intelligent, they write them down a little thing at 8, 9 years old, and they read from the paper. And then you say, well, how many times have you seen the movie?
Mm-hmm.
And they've seen it maybe twice.
Yeah.
And then the next question you ask these little kids is, did you see the one with Jaden
Smith? Smith, yeah.
And they say, yeah. And this happened twice. They say, yeah. And then they say, well, and if they're with their mother, the mother's trying to nudge them. Which one did you like the best? You know?
Yeah.
And then they always say, ours.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he made a good movie, Will Smith. And I had to go on the radio a lot. And do a lot of defending because that movie didn't compete with Karate Kid 1. No. It paid homage to it.
It did. The difference is that the original Karate Kid resonates as a story that we were talking about this with Ralph Macchio. Everyone rings true. You know, they like seem real people. This is more of a. More of a mythological, you know, he goes to a different country, and you have Jackie Chan, and it's a bigger thing. But the one that is a more personal film is the original. You know,
it reaches everybody.
Yeah.
You know,
speaking of Ralph, and one last question because we do have to send you on your way. But he said that he kept the yellow car, the wax on, wax off car. Is there anything that you kept from the film?
I have my original bag, my punching bag. I've given a lot of things away to. Charity, and they raise money on it in silent auctions and all. I have won the yellow shirt from Karate Kid 3 that kids throw at me at the end of Karate Kid 3. I still have one of those.
Wow.
And is there anything else I really have? I have the original screenplay.
That's
there.
Cool.
And that's about it. So much over the years, the Rambo stuff, you know, and I had the vest and the chains and things. Go. I mean,
yeah,
they just
yeah.
give it, and they raise a few $1,000s on this piece of equipment or a piece of clothing.
So you'll let them donate it for charitable
purposes.
Yeah,
you let them donate. Some people sell it. I mean, I guess if I have the duster, you know, from something I wore with Sergio Leone, I'd ask for if I I wouldn't sell it anymore.
you can.
I mean that duster. I mean, I met Sergio Leone. I met him in Cannes, and it was unbelievable. It was, you know, it's another subject, but it's just, you know, those giants when you meet them, they're just, you know, they're just fantastic.
Yeah.
Especially a guy like Peckinpah. I wish I had met John Ford. You know, those are the people I wish I could work with now. You know,
the great Western directors. The new Clint Eastwood Sergio Leone collection is amazing on Blu-ray. If you get a chance to take a look at this. A whole bunch of additional stuff.
Well,
good stuff.
We love meeting people such as yourself, and it's you know, it's a great film that's still celebrated this day, and you have a huge body of work, and we hope you enjoy your time in Philadelphia at the convention, and thanks for coming in here for a little bit.
My pleasure, guys.
It's here for Martin Cove, everybody.
Yeah!
Outstanding.
Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app. Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
The B-File brought to you today by Elmwood Park Zoo.
Branch out and challenge yourself at Treetop Adventures. Climb, zip, swing through the trees high above the Elmwood Park Zoo. Visit zipthezoo.com to begin your adventure.
We'll start with this one's kind of messed up and a bit of a mystery. A man died after he fell or jumped from a private helicopter Saturday afternoon off of the Malibu coast. Lifeguards reached the man at about 1:20 p.m., about a mile from the Malibu pier, and he was pronounced dead at the scene. It's unclear whether he fell out or he jumped out, but the FAA said that the pilot of the Robinson R-22 helicopter reported that a passenger jumped from the aircraft. So I don't know if it was a sightseeing thing.
Yeah, or maybe a planned.
And they used it as a suicide.
Right, right, right.
So
that's
I don't
weird.
Really know, but that's pretty messed up.
You had a similar story a while ago. I think it was in Europe where someone did something. They were on a plane. Plane, yeah. Jumped out, and they believe that was the case. Yeah,
yeah. You know what, Steve? I remember that. Yeah, it was it was the pilot, I think, that did.
Okay, yeah,
yeah. But pretty messed up. Okay, get ready for this.
I'm going to see if this is a story that I think I saw, but I said he's got to have it. There's no way he cannot have this.
A California music teacher.
It is.
Yes, has been arrested for sexual misconduct after allegedly giving flutes contaminated with semen to students.
Oh, my God.
I had to do a live slide whistle for that.
Oh, my God.
The flutes were likely given to children as part of the Flutes Across the World program.
With semen.
In which flutes painted and decorated by California students are gifted to underprivileged children in various parts of the world.
How old are we talking?
Young kids.
God almighty.
Like grade school kids. Parents of students enrolled in at least three Orange County school districts were sent emails warning them that their children may have been given flutes and recorders contaminated with bodily fluids. Parents were asked to take the flutes away from their children and place them in a sealed plastic bag.
A, how did this pervert go about doing this? And B, any reason for doing it?
No, they don't know yet. One concerned parent said, you have to read between the lines, and most likely it's not sweat we're talking about here. Another said, it had made me sick to my stomach. The teacher, whose identity hasn't been revealed, is not employed by any of the school districts, but is an independent contractor who provided musical enrichment programs at multiple schools. The official website and Facebook page of Flutes Around the World are both down, but a cached version of the website said children who receive flutes are, quote, given instruction and technique by the organization's flute ambassadors.
You can still access the site through Pornhub, Preston.
Who are able to establish a relationship with local music teachers within a religion.
Whew.
The program has distributed flutes to children in Haiti, Honduras, Nigeria, Nepal, the Philippines, Indonesia, and the United States.
That's horrifying.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 24-year-old Kat Gallagher's fun excursion into body art ended in horror when an eyeball tattoo left her partially blinded and oozing purple tears.
Oh, she had her actual eyeball tattooed.
The tattoo was meant to have tinted her sclera, which is the white part of her eye, but instead it went horribly wrong.
Listen, we're all fans of tinted scleras, but come on.
Caused pain and possible permanent impairment, and now the young model is sharing her story in the hopes that others won't make the same mistake. Yeah, we're looking at pictures of this now. It nearly cost her vision. According to Gallagher, the artist did not dilute the ink, injected too much of it into her eye, and did not have enough injection sites on her eyeball. All of this caused the eye to swell and the ink to seep out. She was literally crying purple tears.
Mm.
Immediately after the procedure, Gallagher knew that something was wrong. She rushed to her local hospital where she received antibiotic eye drops for a week and a half. The drops didn't help the problem and caused the eye to swell completely shut. Steroid drops caused the injection to form a clump around the cornea area. Gallagher is unable to see properly out of the injected eye, needs to see a specialist, and is at risk of becoming permanently blind.
The doctor said it's almost as if someone was tattooing her eyeball.
Right. The practice of tinting the white of the eye is fairly new and slowly gaining popularity throughout the world.
Not anymore.
But a noted ophthalmologist said the practice is unsafe and extremely dangerous. He said, basically, my feeling is that it's insane.
Yes.
It can be done, but it has no long-term testing for safety.
God. Dear
God.
He said, you have to be nuts to do this. So we're looking at these
pictures. I'd rather play a semen flute.
That is scary. I agree, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah. Sign me up for the semen music program.
Oh, my God. Look at this.
It looks horrible. Oh. Gross. And she was a pretty girl.
Yeah, that's too bad. Well, Casey, you need to see video of this. I tried to get the video to play, but it wouldn't. It kept freezing up on my computer, but I've got to go back and see if I can find it again. A nurse shark.
No, thank you.
That bit a Clay County man on his stomach and refused to let go was caught on camera. The video was recorded in the Gulf of Mexico off the island of Marathon in the Florida Keys. This is in Labor Day. They just posted this guy, Irvin McCarty, just posted it to social media.
The shark wasn't actually biting Preston. It was going...
Just giving him a Zerbert.
Stop it!
Listen to this, though. He said it was quite the struggle. No matter what, the shark would not let go. The shark stayed on his stomach for about 30 minutes.
No.
It's a tiny shark, but it's a shark with teeth.
And it even tried to pull him underwater.
Wow.
You can hear in the video a woman saying, hold him still, hold him still. Come on, stab him or something.
Kill him!
And that's what they did. The video recorded on a fishing boat a few miles off the coast of Marathon shows a 2 to 3 foot long nurse shark latched onto Irvin's stomach. He said, get the damn thing off of me.
Preston, when they said stab it, they stabbed him.
No, they didn't.
So he had been lobstering and spearfishing with family friends. He dove down about 12 feet to get a grouper that they had speared.
Yeah.
He said, I turned to go back up for air and something hit me in the stomach. He said, I didn't know if somebody kicked me or what, but whatever hit me was biting onto me. He surfaced far away from the boat and there was a strong current. So he's trying to swim back with this shark attached to him.
I know this is sort of a Pollyanna about this whole thing, but couldn't they have learned to live together?
He said that he couldn't shake the shark off. He said, I had to grab it by both hands, keep it from shaking, and get up for air at the same time. At one point, the shark tried to pull him underwater. He said, I thought I was drowning. Mm. After about a 20-minute struggle, he was able to get onto the boat. He said, I was out of breath. It was wearing me out. It took everything that I had to keep from shaking.
Is that all you, or is that a nurse shark?
So a friend stabbed the shark to get it off. It was their only option. He had said, I'm bleeding the shark out. You're just going to have to lay there for a minute and let him bleed out. It took about 6 more minutes after that until the shark released. At that point, Irvin can be heard screaming in pain. But then, listen to this, the shark bit him a second time.
Are you kidding me?
In another part of his stomach.
Get the freaking thing off. Why don't you just let it slide off?
But that time the shark released its bite a little easier, and the friend said, poor little guy, talking about the shark.
Well, yeah, they should have taken it off. You know, once it was off his stomach, rested on his crotch.
Irvin later...
He puts it down by his feet.
Yeah.
Put it on his balls.
Irvin later got a checkup.
You're hereby declared a full-fledged...
one. And a tetanus shot. But will it get back in the water is a question. He said, it hasn't changed a thing. I will continue to fish. I will continue to snorkel. Just make sure there's not a nurse shark around.
So the bite marks are decent. They're not life-threatening.
Well,
but
that's the thing about nurse sharks is they're strong and they have a tight grip because they're bottom feeders, but their teeth aren't very long, so the bites are typically less severe than those of other sharks.
It's very weird that this shark, which is smaller, would attack him and attack him that way.
Nurse sharks are generally gentle. They will bite if they're provoked or if they think you are food. And in Florida, there have only been about 7 documented nurse shark bites in the last century. So it's very, very rare.
The problem with nurse sharks, Preston, is that they often work back-to-back shifts.
Oh, yeah, they get tired.
And they get tired.
And disoriented.
Yeah. And that's it. And I'm sure the shark didn't know what it was doing. It's probably just ending one of its shifts.
Yep. All right, so anyhow. There you go. That is what I have for you. Only 3 stories, but they were good ones.
Well,
so our file this morning.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Foo Fighters. Metallica. Dorothy.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Today, the trash is brought to us by Elite Tuner Philly Car Show. Elite Tuner is back with Imports versus Domestics Car Show this Sunday at the Simeon Museum. Doors open at 11 a.m. Indoor-outdoor event, rain or shine. Kids under 12 are free. EliteTurner.net.
What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, now that their neighbors, Meghan Markle, has reportedly found a new best friend in her soon-to-be sister-in-law, Kate Middleton. In fact, the other day, Meghan stopped by to see Kate and accidentally happened upon her getting out of the shower.
Megan was apparently totally flustered, but Kate said, "It's okay. My sister and I used to be naked around each other all the time." With a voice beginning to tremble, Megan sputtered, responding, "I don't have any sisters, but I've always wanted one." At this point, Kate stepped closer, placing her hands on Megan's waist, slowly drawing the swooning actress into her naked body. She whispered, "Well, now you do." I've never been with a..." Megan half-heartedly responded. "Shh," whispered Kate, gently unbuttoning Megan's blouse. "Sis is going to show you how it's done."
Oh, my God.
Okay. Anyway. Next one. U.S. Olympic star Lolo Jones posting online that a date with recently traded NBA player Blake Griffin was, quote, the worst date ever, calling him a terrible kisser. Not one to take things lying down, wordsmith Griffin responded, saying, quote, "Power chomp my goose sack."
Oh. Hey. All right.
And finally, rumors abounding that Kylie Jenner has major regrets about getting pregnant with Travis Scott's baby, saying that former boyfriend Tyga was much more responsible. Kylie says she was always impressed with how Tyga cleaned up after preparing his scissor. And that's her trash.
So I'm curious, because Casey teased a little bit of information to us earlier that he made an attempt to create his own bacon bowl.
He had a workaround that he had come up with on Friday.
If you've seen
the commercials on TV right now for the bacon bowl, which apparently is all the rage.
Yeah. Right,
everyone has decided that it's best to eat things out of bowls made of bacon.
Yeah, it's a little apparatus where you wrap bacon around it, and then you throw it in the oven, and when it's done, it comes out and it keeps its form, and it's a bowl made of strips of bacon.
The bowl you never knew you needed.
Right. And by the way, I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, but when the lady in the commercial, and she says the words bacon bowls a lot, she always says, "Bacon bowls." Every time she says bacon bowls, she goes, "Bacon bowls."
Wait, do we have the commercial? Because I think Marissa grabbed it last week. She said, "Bacon," like
bacon
singing.
Bowls.
Everybody loves bacon. The sizzle, the scent, the mouthwater.
Not Kathy.
She hates it.
It's the most disgusting thing in the world.
In the world. Bring taste. Didn't think it could get any better? Watch. We're turning bacon upside down. Introducing Perfect Bacon Bowl. Eggs and hash browns for breakfast.
Pause it for a second. You know,
bacon bowl.
Think it couldn't get any better? I hadn't even entertained the notion that it had... And also, can you technically invert bacon? Is there an upside?
Right.
This side up?
Yeah.
Better in a bacon bowl. BLT
bacon
from...
Bacon bowl. Where does she do the bacon bowl?
Keep going.
Munch? Perfect Bacon Bowl makes a whole new way to munch. Just wrap your favorite cut of bacon around the Perfect Bacon Bowl form and cook. The easy way to make delicious edible bowls out of bacon for fun, savory, crunchable yum.
What was that?
Listen
crunch
to that. That is an after... Noise.
That is a studio... I have
That's
that in
celery.
One of my sound effect collections.
That sounds like celery.
Make delicious edible bowls out of bacon for fun, savory, crunchable yum. In just
That's
minutes,
a dog eating a bone.
Deep, toasty, perfect bacon. Bacon bowls. The unique design allows the bacon to crisp up evenly while grease collects in the channel so you can pour it out of your diet.
Why waste money on costly condoms?
Wait, so the grease pours out so you can pour it out of your diet?
It collects in the channel. While grease collects in the channel so you can pour it out of your diet. Now,
normally I just drink the grease.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think?
Yeah.
Grease collects in the chair. This way you don't have to drink it.
All right. So what did you do?
All right.
Casey did not order the bacon bowl maker.
I did not. So, you know, I posted a picture on Twitter and on Instagram. I grammed it.
Yeah.
And people were up in arms. They thought I fell for this thing and I bought the bacon bowls. No. Because when I first saw the commercial, I was like, that makes no sense. I'm not going to spend money on bacon bowls when I could just invert a cupcake or muffin pan and make bacon bowls that way.
So did it work?
So that's what I did. It didn't work. No.
I'll tell you why it didn't work.
All
because
right.
I found a hole in your theory after taking a closer look at the actual bacon bowl product.
Okay.
The cup area that you wrap it around has these channels. It has these little slits down the side. So the grease,
slits.
I think it's easier for the grease to drain off that way. Let me guess, did your bacon bowls turn out with the bacon still not crispy?
All right, so it was cooked on the outside but not on the inside.
Okay.
So
Were they more like bacon doll hats?
No. Well, here's the problem. I was making them one way, and my wife told me, no, I should make it a different way. So I made...
Get off my back!
I wrapped the bacon around the inside and then put bacon on top of it, and I really should have put bacon on top and then wrapped it all together.
See, the picture's up
Wait,
in the studio here.
What are you wrapping
here.
It with?
With bacon, but in
bacon.
You're wrapping bacon There's, with bacon.
So I
Preston's
should have put,
right about the slits.
I should have put the sides on last, and I put the sides on first.
Oh,
if that makes any
Don't
sense.
Don't they come with? Isn't there a DVD you're supposed to watch with the thing to
it
learn how
comes
to make
with
it?
A cookbook.
There's
yeah.
a cookbook,
a 200-page cookbook on how to make bacon bowls.
Right.
Bacon.
So the bacon. Only the only problem I had,
Hun, I think we've reached the end of the line here on bacon technology. Not so fast, bacon bowls.
Yeah. The only problem I had was that it didn't fully cook on the inside, so everything that looked cooked on the outside.
Well, raw pork isn't bad for you.
It's not?
No.
No. So I'm going to attempt to do it again. I just don't know if I had the temperatures right. I looked up online, you know, how to bake bacon, and they said to cook at 400 degrees for 20 minutes, and I had it at 400 degrees for a good 30 minutes, and it still didn't cook on the inside.
Well, you know, I'm just looking. It's $10, Case, and you try this all the time. When there's products like this, you refuse to buy it. Do you guys remember when we did the Neti Pot, when I first started using the Neti Pot?
Yeah.
Casey was like, you don't need that, and he tried to take a plastic cup of water and pour it in one nostril. It was all over the place. For $10, just buy it. If you really want bacon bowls.
Casey actually did succumb to the clarion call
right.
to purchase something. So you purchased something along the line.
So I didn't spend $10 on a bacon bowl.
Okay, what'd
However,
you get?
Listen, I think you know the best form of advertising is word of mouth. Okay,
yes.
So I had never seen this product on
not
TV.
Television. Tell a neighbor.
Right, exactly. I never heard that before.
All right.
So I've never seen this product on TV. I didn't know it was an as made for or as seen on TV product.
As made for TV.
But a friend of mine was over.
It's a subsect.
A friend of mine was over picking up their son on Saturday night after I attempted to make bacon bowls.
So you're making bacon bowls.
And she told me about this thing called the Perfect Breakfast Sandwich Maker.
Yeah.
And it's made by Hampton Bay. And yeah, I have to go get this now. This she's telling me this at 7:20. Okay, I was watching the Chiefs game.
Is this a? And I think I've seen this. Does it do like a sandwich pocket?
No. Well, when she first explained it to me, I thought it was like a quesadilla maker almost. Like it encloses the sandwich.
Like a Hot Pocket.
Right. But it's not. It's made by Hamilton Beach. And what you do is you crack an egg.
They make ceiling fans.
They make a ton of things, by the way, because I went to Walmart.
Hamilton Bay makes ceiling fans. Hamilton Beach makes these appliances.
Oh, okay.
Two different companies.
All right. Well, regardless, I went to Walmart thinking that they would have some, even though this girl told me that it was impossible to find anywhere. So, all right. So
it's impossible to find anywhere.
So, Steve, because it's really, really popular.
Right.
So, literally, she tells me about this thing at 7:20 on Saturday night.
Yeah.
I'm in the car at 7:30.
Going to the all-night sandwich maker store.
Going to Walmart because I was online first.
Yeah.
And my Walmart said that they had them in stock. I go to Walmart. They didn't have them
Damn.
In stock. Steve, what you do is it's got like one little compartment where you crack an egg and you put the egg in there. It's got another little compartment where you put your breakfast meats in there and it cooks your breakfast meats. And then two more compartments on the top and bottom where you put your muffins. And she explained to me that like the Bain's English muffins are probably the best.
Best muffins on earth.
No, not that.
Scum a machine. The ultimate way to make breakfast sandwiches. You must first employ a Bain's muffin, nooks and crannies, and a new world order.
All right, so I fell for it, hook, line, and sinker.
Don't they make ceiling fans?
I didn't find it. However, I did buy one on Amazon yesterday, and hopefully it'll be in by the end of the week.
You going to make sandwiches with this thing?
Well, I'm going to make it for my family first.
Let me go back to, and as Kathy pointed out, the boy who says you can just, you know, do this stuff without all these gizmos, you realize you can take a piece of Canadian bacon and throw that basically in the same pan that you're cooking your eggs in, and you can put your Bain's English muffin.
Bain's English muffin.
In a toaster.
In a toaster.
And have the exact same
Depress
thing happen.
Depress the lever, and within seconds, you're treated to a breakfast delicacy.
Sounds like a lot of steps to me, Preston.
Casey,
so the way it was...
only one step.
the way this was explained to me, and this was like, you know, this is what really sold it, is, I mean, it's all there, you know, and you just, you shut the thing, and the breakfast sandwich is made.
Do you know what
like
it's like?
3 minutes, God. And, you it's know, you like, don't have to clean up a whole bunch of pans or anything like that.
It's like a sandwich press.
Almost, yeah.
Oh, you'll have to clean that thing up, guarantee it.
Okay, so you said you already ordered it?
Yeah.
Okay, because they have one at the Target in Springfield.
No, they don't.
You went
no,
there?
No, they don't.
No, because I did a search.
I looked. I searched the world over.
Says you can pick it up.
I thought I found true love.
Yes, thank you.
You met another, and you are gone. That's a hee-haw joke. Oh,
God. Thank you, Steve.
We're the only ones that got that joke.
Gloom, despair, and agony on me.
Hee-haw.
Hold Kathy, on, I was looking online, and there are two Targets in Springfield, Target East and Target West.
This one says Baltimore Pike.
Yeah, they're both on Baltimore Pike, and they're about a mile away from each other.
A fool would know that.
Listen, I hate these things. I hate kitchen gadgets. I think that all they do is
take up space.
That is it. I can't stand. They are an absolute waste of time. My wife used to have a garlic press. I'm like, a garlic press? But it's just, you chop up the
just
garlic.
Chop up the garlic.
Take a knife.
I love them.
Oh,
I love them, and I'm a sucker for all of them. And I don't even cook.
Yeah.
Just a bare minimum stuff. But if I go like into a Williams and Sonoma, right? Mm-hmm. I am seduced into these things. I was about to buy something that I already had, a Vitamix maker.
Yeah.
And I found out my own blender at home can do all of that anyway.
We got a gift, a Christmas gift. It is a wine cork remover. So it's an auto. It's like a powered one.
I know.
Yeah, but those actually work.
No.
So do
corkscrews. What's wrong with a corkscrew?
Preston, I don't even drink, and I've bought five corks. And I bought the best one though. It's a red handle with a you don't even have to cut the thing around the cork right. at all. You close it, lower the handle, pull it up.
Now that's
boom.
Well, that's mechanical. This is powered.
I had that one.
You need a
it sucks.
Cork
well, hold on,
remover.
Preston, because I'm with you. I don't like any of these things. They take up space. However, that one for me is much easier. It is. I mean, I could use a regular one, but that it's so easy.
Like
I would actually use that. The other ones.
I'll find the picture of the one that is a revelation that takes a quarter of a second. It's the best corkscrew remover on earth.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You pull the handle down, you pop it back up.
Boom, yeah. Yes.
But it's mechanical. It's the gadgets that I can't stand. Hold on, Beth.
She has this Hamilton Beach jobby that Casey loves.
You got it?
Yeah.
She's probably got a big smile on her face.
Yes, I do. I got it at the Target in Springfield Mall.
Oh.
Yeah, I had to get it. I saw it. I waited for like a month because I was like, is this going to work or is this not going to work?
Is it just for breakfast sandwiches?
It says it is. I think so.
Can you make stew in it?
You might be able to make stew. I don't know. But it works. It really does. It says it takes 10 minutes, but it actually takes like a half hour.
And
to make
the
sandwich,
it
takes a long time.
God,
yeah.
That's useless.
Wait,
it takes
a half an hour to cook a half eggs? Hour, but it's like you put the egg in there, and I don't think the temperature is hot enough. And
so it takes a little.
And I like my eggs really well done. I don't want it to be like runny or like falling out of the sandwich. So.
Yeah.
I make sure it's like really well done.
Wait, so I have a question then. Where the bread goes, is the bread sitting in the raw egg?
The bean muffin?
No, it's not. It's like it's separated. But the way I do it is I put the egg in first and I cook the egg for a really long time. So that takes a long time. And then I put in my breakfast meat and cheese.
A quick question. Could you make a Monte Cristo?
Probably.
I'm looking at this thing. What a waste of money.
No, it's good.
What an absolute
My wife
waste
would agree with you, Preston.
It's
the
just,
sad thing is...
You already have everything you need to make that.
Whenever I make a purchase on Amazon, my wife gets an email. I was like, oh, son of a bitch.
I really wanted it.
And you know what the best thing is? It makes like an egg patty. That's what I like.
Yeah,
it's like
man.
A perfect little
it
egg
makes,
patty.
It makes like a fast food restaurant's egg sandwich.
You know what you can do? You can get a thing. It's called a ring mold, and it probably costs 50 cents. And you just set
cool.
it on the pan, and you crack the egg in it, and that's it.
Oh, man.
Let me go to...
But does it toast the bread?
Let me go to Megan. No, I have a thing called a toaster that actually does that. Hey, Megan, how you doing?
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Megan?
Hi, I have the breakfast sandwich maker. I bought it, bought one for myself back in probably September, and I wanted to test it first, and I absolutely love it. It's fabulous. I bought them for, like, everybody for Christmas. I couldn't wait for Christmas to give these things out.
And were they received warmly, or were people like, what the F is this?
No, everybody loves them. I got them for my nephews were away at college. I got them for my sisters. And everybody, they hadn't seen them before, but they were excited to try them.
All right.
But mine,
I'm going to buy one on Amazon.
3 minutes.
What's that?
It's like 3 minutes, start to finish.
Where's Beth getting a half hour?
I don't know.
What, she puts a living chicken in it.
Is there just one temperature, or can you turn it up a little bit?
Yeah, it's just one temperature. You just plug it in, it warms up, and then you put all your stuff in, and then the light comes on when it's done.
She may not be waiting for it. It sounds like it's done now, Megan. Go get your sandwich. Yeah, maybe she needs to warm it up before she does her, puts the ingredients in it. Let me go to John. Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's happening, man?
Nothing. I have one of these things. My girlfriend got it for her mom for Christmas, and it's a hunk of junk because you can't put full-size bagels in it.
Yeah, right.
And so when you put a full-size bagel in it, I mean, you can squeeze it in there, but all the thing does, there's like a kind of like a flat surface at the top and bottom that cook everything from the top and bottom through. It'll burn the bottom and it'll burn the top of the bagel.
Does it suggest you use a bagel though? I mean, all I see in the commercial, they're using either croissants or English muffins.
Or English muffins. It says use a mini bagel.
Okay.
All right. See, I'm more of an English muffin guy.
I don't want breakfast sliders. You know, I want to get it done in one sandwich.
You want a big hearty sandwich.
Could you do pancakes?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Oh, like
no, I don't know.
Mini pancake sandwich.
Yeah, like do a
little waffle sandwich or something like that.
Oh, my God.
Well, there's so many possibilities.
Pancake balls. Box. You remember that was the big rage? Yes. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was the last big thing.
All those things come and go, man.
I don't have time for flat pancakes.
Yeah. This is not going to be a mainstay in people's kitchens. It's a passing fad.
What was the last thing that we actually took that ends up on
the George Foreman grill? Maybe
George Foreman grill is
hugely successful. Yeah. We have one of those and use it when if I can't go outside and grill, we'll throw it on that thing.
It's funny you should mention this because if you want to just get absolutely assaulted and blow tons of cash and feel regret like you've never felt, the home show has tons of this. The home show is coming into town.
Mm-hmm.
It might be this week or next week. Wall-to-wall items like this.
Yeah.
And we bought things last year that fit over the grill on your stove that creates sort of the barbecue sensation.
Oh, really?
And they actually work. But out of the 10 things we got, that's the only thing that worked.
Really?
As advertised.
Here, Rebecca has tricks for the sandwich maker, Casey.
Ooh.
Hi, what's happening, Rebecca?
Hi, I have like 2 minutes to get ready in the morning for work. So my boyfriend bought this for me, and it works with English muffins. And you have to buy your breakfast meat pre-cooked, and you have to preheat it. So I would get out of the shower, I would plug it in, it would take like 5 minutes to preheat, and then I'd crack my egg and put everything in, and 2 minutes later it'd be done.
So if you add in your prep time along with the actual cook time, how long does it take to make this sandwich?
About 7 minutes.
About 7 minutes.
That's not bad at all. And that's the thing. Like, you know, for me, you know, just being able
to... A wealthy businessman.
To set it and forget it.
I remember one of the last big things, Preston, that everyone seemed to be getting with the Showtime rotisserie grills.
Yeah.
Remember those?
Yeah, they were a big Ron Popeil thing.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But I never really knew anybody who owned one. Let me go to Austin. Austin, how you doing?
Good, man. How you guys doing?
Good. What's happening?
Good. I got my dad for Christmas a stuffs it. Did you see him on the commercials?
For the burgers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that good?
He opened it up and he loved it. You can throw anything you want inside those burgers. We threw in like nachos and salsa and cheese.
Do you know what occurred to me though, Austin? Is you're making a burger patty? You just
put it in.
Put it in there.
That's all I got to do.
I don't know the way you make it. It's a pretty good stuff. Burger.
I mean, that's the most moldable food you can eat is a burger.
Yes. You take a bowl, whatever ingredients you want in it, you throw in there, you throw the burger in, you mix it together, you make patties.
All right, what is it called? A stuff it?
What's it called?
Stuffs it or something like that.
Stuff it or something like that. All right, thank you, Austin.
It's the stuff it in the bunghole burger maker.
I don't know. If you like them, that's cool.
You're an accomplished cook, though.
No, I dabble.
Right.
It's pretty easy. We're looking at a picture of the burger stuffer. Yes, it's two molds. You put more effort into it if you use some of these things, actually. You put burger into each side of the mold, then you put whatever you want to.
Yeah.
On top of one of the burger patties, then you magically fold these two pieces together. You know what? You're just basically you're adding a step as opposed to picking up one in one hand, one in the other, and smashing them together. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, but listen, I'm not that great in the kitchen. You know,
no.
I'm just
you're more an idea man.
And it became very apparent when I made this cake yesterday. The cake tasted good. It didn't stay together all that great. And you know, putting the
but
icing
it was the best
on,
cake you ever drank.
I never knew it was so hard to ice a cake. You know, I had no idea. And all I had to make for dinner last night was spaghetti, and it was fine. The rigatoni. In fact, we didn't have enough spaghetti, so I had to put rigatoni in there. So I kind of made spaghettoni or
spaghettoni,
Or
rigatini,
rigatetti.
Do you know what's good? Christmas ribbon.
What?
Christmas ribbon. If you have to flesh out some spaghetti.
And I thought I was All right, so we just used this Hunt's garlic and herb sauce, and I thought I was getting all fancy because I cut up two tomatoes and I put it in the sauce. You know, so, like, for me, that was a pretty big accomplishment.
That was your, Hell's Kitchen moment.
I'm watching this Stuff infomercial for America's Stuffed Burger, and it's got Brian Duffy on it. Is that the Brian Duffy?
That's the Brian
Duffy.
That's
our guy.
He is the main spokesman.
He used to work for Kildare's, right? And he's buddies with Dave McGrogan.
Yes.
He's worked in a few different places around Philly.
He won the best Irish cook in America on that Today Show challenge.
Well, he's the host of this Stuff's, S-T-U-F-Z, America's Stuffed Burger infomercial, and he's making them. Maybe he could come in and make one for us.
He realizes how stupid people are, and he made something to go ahead and make money off of them from. Good for him. Totally.
Yeah.
That's the American way. Hang on, let me go to Chris. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
I was calling to tell Casey. I got one of these about 5 years ago. I registered for my wedding.
One of the breakfast sandwich makers?
Yeah, the one I got was a little different. It was made by a company called Back.
Yeah.
Number two.
And it's a gasoline-powered, the one you got.
Yeah, they had a single and they got a double, so you can make two sandwiches at the same time on the double.
That's what I would think, because if you have a family and you're making egg sandwiches, if you're doing a single sandwich at a time, that's you need a couple of different...
Yeah, but my kids don't all wake up at the same time, you know? Like, usually, yeah, my youngest actually sleeps really late. So she would be last, and, you know, so I would...
You'd have time to reset it.
Yeah, my son usually comes downstairs with either me or my wife, so he would be first.
Let me go to Laura. Hey, Laura, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Laura?
I just want to say how much I love you guys. I listen to you every morning on my ride in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah. What's up?
So, anyway, I have the breakfast maker. My husband gave it to me for Christmas, because like your other caller, I have to get up and out really quick. I love it. Once it's preheated, it makes a sandwich in like 3 to 4 minutes. And we've got four kids. We had them lined up Christmas morning. And we were just popping those sandwiches out one after the other. It was awesome. It's a great product.
So you say thumbs up on the sandwich maker.
Yeah, I'm saying thumbs up. Yep,
I think they should just have a – I think you should – if you're going to go for the multiple unit. Because I can't – I mean, you know, you don't want to be doing one sandwich at a time.
Actually, I think this looks really cool.
Thanks, Laura.
I was going to
– What, the burger maker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I let her go, Case, is because Marissa actually called Brian Duffy.
Oh, cool.
And he's on the phone line now. He's the guy. What is this called? Stuffs?
Yeah.
America's Stuffed Burger? All right. Hey, Brian, are you there?
Absolutely, guys. What's going on?
How are you, man?
Hey.
I'm wonderful.
I guess we just realized this. Casey ordered this breakfast sandwich maker, which I think is a total waste of money. Nick, we started pulling up different gadgets and so forth, and Nick found you on an infomercial for Stuffs, burger stuffers.
Absolutely, yeah. America's Stuffs Burger, man.
Yeah.
And so, because I saw you doing the infomercial on this, and explain it. Explain the advantage of this device.
Well, one, you know, everybody says, well, don't you have two hands that you can use? Well, yeah, we all have two hands, but this is a little bit more fun. It's just, you know, it's like a PVC-type plastic, and it has two different parts to it. You fold open the top, and you put 6 ounces of ground beef or whatever you want to do, turkey, chicken, whatever your mind kind of puts in there. And you just put it in, you close the lid, you press down on it, and it makes a nice deep cup on the inside. And then you open it back up again, and then you stuff inside of it whatever you want. I mean, right now I have restaurants all over the country that are using these.
You know, there was supposed to be a place that was going to open up on Ridge in Roxborough that was a stuffed burger place. It never opened up. I do like burger stuffed with stuff. one thing I didn't realize is that when we were looking at this, I'm like, that seems kind of weird because you're just taking two things and pushing them together. Preston made the point you could just crush your, you know, know, the meet together.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you had a little indenter, Preston.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Yes, which is great because I don't have thumbs. I can't do that.
Damn, it's so hard to hold a phone anymore.
I'm sorry, man. No. Good for you. I mean, if and is it selling well?
Yeah, the original goal was to sell 1 million units, and we're looking at selling 6 right now.
6 million?
Not just 6. Yeah. So, but unfortunately, our profit was cut into because I have 6 of them for you guys. I called Marissa last week and I was like, I need your address because I'm sending 6 of these to you guys for everybody.
Stop it. You only need 5 because Preston doesn't want one.
I will. Preston's more of a chef. But if, Brian, you're an accomplished chef. If you say it's worth a spin, I'll try it.
You know, I played with this thing for 3 weeks prior to actually signing a contract with it. And when my agent came to me with the deal, I was like, look, I don't want to do an infomercial. But I had so much fun playing with this. We shot the commercial in 4 hours. It happened really fast. And now I have clients that use them all over. And it's like the new Flowbee of the food world, I guess.
I'll tell you what. I watch.
No, that's the bacon bowl, man.
I watch a lot of diner.
Wait. Hold one second.
All right. I heard this.
This is an insane thing, the bacon bowl, is it not?
Breaking up. I can't.
The bacon bowl is completely imbecilic, right?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Hey, look, let's do this. Let's get a stuffs. We'll put a bacon bowl next to it. We'll fill the bacon bowl with salad, and everybody will feel good.
There we go. It'll be a nice, healthy meal. It'll be surf and turf. We'll put some fish there, too. It'll be nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. All right. Cool. Nice.
All right, well, cool. Brian, good to hear from you, man. Oh, wait, Case, did you want to ask him?
No, I was just going to say that the stuffed burger, I watch a lot of diners, drive-ins, and dives, and it's the places that have these stuffed burgers that always get me. There's this place in Minneapolis. I saw it. I remember that it's in Minneapolis. When I go there, eventually, when I get to Minneapolis, I'm going to go to this stuffed burger place. Yeah.
Well, here, now you got to get one. Brian's sending one. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
I really need somebody to make them for me.
Yes.
Like, the device itself is terrific, but I still need somebody to hold my hand and walk me through
it. The laughable concept that when I get any of this equipment that I'll ever actually use it, I'll still go out and just buy. I'll go to Primo's. Hey, I got a burger stuffer at home. That'll be one Primo, please.
It's so much easier.
Well, you know what you should, Case, what you ought to do is when you get your sandwich maker, you should come in here and she makes the sandwiches.
I definitely will. I'll make Nick.
Everybody
and Kathy
but me?
And, yeah, everybody but you.
Yeah. No, you know what? I'll bring in an actual pan and make a breakfast sandwich as well.
And I'm actually pretty good at making breakfast sandwiches, you know, so, that's
you got
actually,
a grant.
No, it's the only meal that I'm actually good at is breakfast. Breakfast. Yeah, I make good scrambled eggs and all of that jazz.
It's hard to make scrambled eggs.
What? Hold on a minute. We're watching the bacon bowl. You can actually make brownie bowls. So you know what? I'm going to get it now.
Whoa.
Go back.
Fill it up with ice cream, right?
Watch. You'll see it.
Take it back to the brownie bowl.
Right there, Steve.
Well, that is genius.
That's a bacon bowl ice cream sundae.
What do you mean?
It said bacon bowl ice cream sundae at the bottom of the...
Oh, it was still bacon?
Bacon bowl ice cream sundae.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for ripping my heart out, Kathy.
Never mind, I'm not buying
it. That was a brownie bowl. It's called bacon bowl. That's a brownie. That's not bacon.
You sure?
I'm positive. Okay. See, that's bacon.
Okay.
That's
all right. Well, anyway.
I know a brownie when I see a brownie.
Right? Thank you.
Hey, can you use these for Petri dishes?
What's that?
Like in the medical industry, could they use...
Yeah, those are sterile.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Why not?
Anyway, all right. Well, we'll see. But when are you supposed to receive your?
4 to 6 days, something like that. I don't know how to employ Prime.
I need my bacon bowl now.
Preston and Steve
on 93.3 WMMR.